Blog Talk Radio.
Man here with Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you guys? I hope you're all doing good. It's holiday seasons. Now, sometimes people have a kind of like mixed emotions when it comes to holidays, but you know, try to find a middle place here and actually have enjoy yourself, okay? Because it's like it can't be that bad. Sometimes you just got to get caught up in emotion, like some people call it the Christmas spirit, that kind of stuff like that. So, however it sits with you, I think you should go with it, but try to enjoy it. Okay, like I said before, I'm Psychic X Journey Man, your host. This is my show, Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link, where we try to find the truth in every situation. So therefore, if you want to call in and get a reading, please do so. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Or for private readings, you can call me at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. Those numbers again are 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Thank you all for being here. And this month, you can basically get any reading that you want, 90 minutes, 75 minutes, 45 minutes, and it will only cost you $1 per minute per session. You should jump on that as soon as possible because it's only for the holiday season. After the holiday season is over with, it's going to go back up to regular prices. And right now for our 75-minute reading, it's $125. For a 90-minute session, it's $135. But right now you can get all the sessions for only $1 a minute. Okay, we also do parties. So if you have a party you want to sit during the have us attend if you're in the Colorado Springs area, or you want us to be there through Skype to do your party. It's usually $150 flat fee for the parties, but this month it's only $75. Counseling and life coaching sessions usually go for $135 a session, but for this month you can actually get those for also the same way, to $1 a minute. So give us a call at 740-500-8863. Or 719-344-8699, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Call me up. Don't let the prices intimidate you. So therefore, give me a call. If you want to get a reading, I guarantee you, depending on it doesn't matter what your budget is, we can work with you. All right? So therefore, give us a call. All right. If you want to give a call in right now get a real reading here on the Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio, you can get a full reading. No two questions, no mini readings, an actual reading. So give us a call, 646-721-9031. And this is what we can do, okay? So let's look at the situation. All right, so I'm trying to point at some things here. Let's go back to I'm looking at the chat room too. So guys, if you have a question in the chat room, we'll be checking back and forth a little bit here, okay? So be patient with us. Because I'm right now, it's just me. I usually have a person who can actually watch the chat room and stuff like that. We'll be asking some questions and stuff. But right now, it's just me, so therefore, just be patient. And I also tell everybody in the queue, we're doing real readings tonight, so. And we do real readings anyway. So the ideal, with time-consuming, I think you should all sit back and look at the situation of how self-centered you can be in some situation which you want to push this situation and get on as soon as possible. Get your questions answered when you should be listening. We've had a lot of people come on the show and say, hey, you know something, I just want to call in. I've been waiting for you in a whole situation, and I just want to tell you that I just got all my questions answered, and I didn't even get on the show yet. I just want to tell you that. Okay, well, we have people coming in and complimenting us on that kind of thing. You should listen, because it said that everything and everyone that crosses your path for a reason, and the ideal to learn something. So therefore, if you're sitting here listening, more likely you could also get the same thing too as well. Okay? We got Emma Rose. We got Mark Hensby. We have a slew of guests. We also have Charles Witt. So with all the things said and done, if you guys have a question, you can get a question. Usually we ask for cards. We are definitely taking calls, so call in. I recommend that if you want to get a reading, then you should call in, because when it comes to chat room talk, we don't really focus. And what we usually do with the chat room is the ideal couple questions here and there, or pour cards. All right, we'll see what time we have anyway. All right, let's get back to the queue. We actually have three callers in the queue, so let's get to our first caller. Don't worry, guys, we got a three-hour show here, so we'll be able to get everyone on. And if we don't get anybody, we'll go over a little bit over. We will go over a little bit. Here we go. Area code 705, welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Oh, my goodness, it's so wonderful to talk to you again. My name is Wendy.
Hello.
And I forgot, Psychic Journeyman, I forgot your name. Is it Michael?
Everybody's
I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
No, sweetie. Well, I was sitting there talking to someone before, and then I actually had two people at the same time looking me right in the face in person. They looked at me and thought that I was Michael.
I don't know why. I just feel like calling you Michael.
I don't know. Maybe
Archangel Michael, you know?
That's what they came up with,
yeah. I just love him to pieces. I really love that name, Michael. But I'm sorry if I called you the wrong name.
No, it's all right. My friends call me Donnie.
Donnie. Okay. Okay. I have spoken to you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that you've taken my call. I'm really grateful.
Aren't you also in a wheelchair?
Sorry, dear.
Are you in a wheelchair?
Am I in a wheelchair? No.
Okay, maybe I'm picking up on somebody else, so go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Dear, I have a question for you. I love your divine guidance. My boyfriend of 12 months, he cheated on me a month and 3 weeks ago with one of my former best friends, Paulette. Adam and Paulette, they cheated on me. And what I'm asking is any divine guidance as to why this happened. He claims that he loves me and he made a major mistake and so on and so forth. And he is showing a lot of remorse. And I would just your divine guidance about it, because I know you have divine guidance about everything. And I'm sorry, I can't call in. I don't have a credit card. So I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to take my phone call.
Okay. You're welcome. I drank some muscle milk before we started, because I should have done that. But the thing I get the most is you need to forgive and forget and move on. It's not the idea of really knowing exactly why. Because when I get to the idea of why, I keep getting an deficiency. And what I mean by that is something he wasn't feeling like he was getting, which put him in a position of string.
Okay.
I also get the impression, too, you take a look at the situation, too, from another point of view, a different perception of looking at him and seeing what he reflects back at you about yourself. When I sit here and focus on the situation, too, yes, you get a lot of things insightful, because if he's not conveying his wants and needs and desires to you and the idea of what he did, that needs to be addressed or it's going to happen again. But it also looks at the situation of asking yourself, too, the same thing. Are you really conveying to him what your wants, needs, and desires are? It's definitely reflecting back and forth to each other. Because I really feel like the reason he was looking at this other woman was because of something that she had that he didn't feel like you had. But I think in the process of really, in some ways, I guess you would say, reconnecting with each other, I think he's seeing it as a mistake. That's why he feels so bad about the situation. Because he wasn't really looking at you and really, I don't want to say respecting you, but more like the word appreciation.
Okay. So he just did it on a whim then, or?
Well, I get the impression.
Was she encouraging him?
Well, it doesn't matter if she encouraged or didn't encourage. He still made the final decision. That's the point. He made the decision to do that. So there's something within him that he felt like he needed to do that. I think it's the ideal that, some sense of the word, he felt like he wasn't being loved. But also, I want to say one thing, too, before we go any further, when people say, hey, you know, I felt the same way. No, see what it's really all about? It's a lack of appreciation for oneself. When you don't really express yourself completely about what you want, need, and desire to your partner, it's a disrespect to yourself not to do that, because you're not being honest with yourself, so therefore you're not able to be honest with your partner. And that's why I keep getting with him, is the idea he couldn't see you for who you was in appreciation, because he really couldn't see himself.
Oh,
I think
okay.
From this situation that he's actually seen himself, and that's why he's really sorry for what he did, because it's, you know, in the process of trying to, I guess you would sit there and say, some kind of self-centeredness that he should have asked. I don't even get it as any kind of sexual thing. I just get an impression of my impression is it's the lack of him loving himself. So he didn't feel like you were loving him enough. And this person here was like, she seems to be a little bit different. Maybe in some ways she's a little more outgoing than you are.
Okay.
But see, the one thing about the situation, it's one of those things that you feel like would have happened. He chose to follow through with somebody close to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you get with this whole situation within himself, it would have happened no matter if it had been her, but it would have been somebody else. I think we should sit back and look at the situation and learn from it, too. You should ask yourself one thing question, okay? It's one of those really important questions you need to ask yourself. Can you really get past it, forgive and forget, and move on? Because if you're really at a point right now where you can't, then you need to take that in consideration, too. And if it's any kind of separation, if there's any kind of separation between the two of you, it's you should make the decision of what's best for you. If you feel like you can still work through this, which I feel like you can, then that's what you do.
I basically, for the month and 3 weeks, we've been on and off about this topic. And I've expressed everything to him, and he says he doesn't want to lose me. He has great remorse. He made a mistake. And so last night I said, well, we got to start from scratch, our whole relationship. Because what I couldn't understand is she would tell me things that he was flirting with her. And she's an older girl. Mm-hmm. And she said he made her feel old, and she had no interest in him, and she is with one of his ex-best friends. They're together.
Uh-huh.
And what would happen is the three of them would freaking out. And this all of a sudden happened. And my biggest worry was that how it was so planned that he went to her house and they did this. And now she's living with John, who's Adam's ex-best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's my ex-best friend, one of them. And she strikes me as somebody who has no remorse for what she did. And she also strikes me as everything that I've heard from Adam, it's like she's lied to me. She said he complained he wasn't happy, and so on and so forth, and that she wasn't attracted to him, and she would never do anything, and the lies came out. The lies were crazy. It was crazy, Donnie. When I had found out, psychically, I picked up something was wrong. And well,
you said this thing was planned out. I mean, when I sat and looked at the situation, it's kind of an awkward situation, too. When you pick up, when you sit there and said it was planned, the reason why I sit there and say that, because I'm not trying to pull out any kind of private stuff here, but I just feel like the encounter that he had with her was planned, but you also feel like there was somebody else involved. Does that make sense?
No, I don't understand what you're saying, hon.
Well,
somebody else involved?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
As an encounter, instead of just being one, there was three. I'm not saying
three?
There was... Yeah, okay, we got the lady.
Mm-hmm.
We got the guy she's with. Okay. And then we see the situation of being orchestrated where Adam would be a part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, okay, we all, I guess we're all adults. It's the idea of what I kept on picking up on it was a possible threesome. Your friend, or actually, I guess we should say your ex friend. What is her name so we can just stop using ex?
Paulette.
Paula?
Paulette.
Well, Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Paulette and the situation of certain things that she does and that kind of thing like that, she seems like she doesn't really have she has a mask for everybody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some sense the word, as being a close friend of hers at one time, I think you saw her more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And with the situation, the one thing your boyfriend keeps saying he's remorseful, that he's sorry and he should have done it. But what did he do? He's never really acknowledged why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And until he acknowledges it to you, which is something he feels, I feel like in some ways what he told her, she's kind of like mixed it up with a bunch of stuff, so it's kind of hard to tell which is truth and what's not true, okay? But when you look at the situation or what she said about him not being satisfied or happy, realistically, he could say that, he's basically implying that's about you. But realistically, with the situation, he's blaming you in some sense of the word, but it was all about him. He's unhappy with himself. So I said, in the situation, there's something, he needs to acknowledge why he did what he did. All he keeps doing is saying he's sorry. He's remorseful.
Yeah.
He should never done it. But what did he do? It's the idea of him acknowledging what he did, because he seems like he's not really saying that he basically. What's the word? I had the word too. We can say disrespected you, but he, in some sense, the word he denounced you.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to acknowledge that, because he denounced you in a situation of belittling what you guys had in order to be with her. And it was almost like an experience he wanted to experience too as well. So it was a fascination. And he hasn't acknowledged those things. He's lying in some sense of the word. Because you guys have been going back and forth on this whole thing for as long as you say you have, It's because you're not satisfied with what you're getting. You're not satisfied with what he's telling you. You feel like there's more to it. And I feel like it needs to come from him.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. That's exactly how I feel. I just want some sense as to why it happened. Especially mm-hmm. when he says to me, I'm so happy with you. You've made me so happy. I'm so happy living here. Mm-hmm. He moved in, you know,
mm-hmm.
in around May. And I had no idea, except the little times that Paulette would say he was flirting with her. And she was going to tell John, and that never happened.
No.
And then he's going to see a buddy in another town, and he's staying the night. And I thought, okay, he's going to see his buddy in the other town.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened was he went to her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried calling him that night, and he never answered the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something was wrong, and I was up till about 5:30 in the morning. I slept for about 3 hours. He came home, and he acted like nothing ever happened. He said, oh, when you called me, I was asleep. I was too busy with the playing cards with the boys.
Yeah, but he always answers his phone.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what's going on. So the idea of the excuse didn't match up with the, what acts, you know, like with the distance and that kind of stuff. But that's what it's, I mean, like I said before, when realistically we can go over that stuff, but what happened and unfolding, that kind of stuff. But I'm just trying to erase all this and get to the point of a person who needs to acknowledge why he did what he did. And it's never going to sit with you right until he tells you the truth. I think realistically, I get the impression he is happy with you. I get the
okay.
impression he does love with you. He's content with you. What he did,
okay.
I feel like, was a curiosity of experiencing something he didn't think he would do. So Paulette seems to be more relaxed sexually. And I think the reason she didn't tell John was because he was part of the equation. So it's kind of funny that she finds she's basically sitting there stressing you, in some sense the word, that she didn't like the idea of him flirting with her. But at the same time, she never said anything.
No.
So when we look at the situation, realistically, here's a person who's not being themselves either. Because
mm-hmm.
she enjoyed the idea of them flirting. And I get the impression that could be debatable. That's a different, that's almost like a perceptional kind of thing. Where, you know, you can look at the situation of certain things that she did.
I think she did enjoy it, Johnny. Mm-hmm. I think she did enjoy it.
That's what I'm saying. She enjoyed the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. I feel like in some ways, maybe she didn't do anything verbally, but it seemed like she did imply. So the idea of the flirtation could have been just more of him being pulled into a curiosity that got him in trouble. But like I said before, when you sit and look at the situation with him, your boyfriend, I just think you need to sit down, and he needs to acknowledge that to you, that he says he should have done it, but should have done what? He keeps leaving that little part out of it.
God, you're amazing. That's exactly what I've been trying to make sense of for this whole month and 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You are so amazing. That's exactly what I've been trying to get out of him, and it's not coming out. All he says is, I'm so sorry, and this will never, ever happen again, and I'm happy with you, and I want to be with you, and you're the one that I love, and I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been trying to make sense of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what you said. Exactly what you said.
It's one of those situations, if you could ask him to get him to call this show sometime, I'd be glad to talk to the guy.
Oh, God. I don't think that will happen, dear.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes in a situation, you just sit there and look at a person and say, hey, you know, he's a great relationship counselor, who's just going to be a spiritual person, does other things. But he definitely needs somebody to talk to him who's not going to enable him by, you know, sitting there and saying, well, you know, he made a mistake. Oh, okay. But my biggest thing with the situation is he needs to acknowledge what he did. And he's not doing that. He just keeps apologizing. He needs to acknowledge it, because I feel like really strongly, if he doesn't, he will do it again.
You think he'll do that again?
Because
with her?
No. What I'm saying is, it's the ideal of straying, okay? Because, see, he's sitting there trying to imply that he won't do it again. But do what? See, he doesn't acknowledge, really, that he, you know, basically we look at a situation with the kind of relationship you have of a person having an affair. Even if it's only for one night, it's still an encounter, and it can still be classified. People call it classified as one night stands, but still, they have a tendency to tell us a lot about people. And what I'm saying is, it doesn't really denounce how he feels about you. What it does, it tells us more about him and what he's not acknowledging within himself. He can't acknowledge to you because of the fear of losing you. And I feel like if he keeps going this route with you not getting the right answer and hearing the truth, he's going to lose you anyway, because you're just not going to get to the point where you can trust him, because he won't tell you that part. It's like he's hiding it. I really think, because people sit and talk about this all the time, psychologists, sometimes I don't like the idea of bullshit that tells people that it's justifiable to hide things from your partner. This is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And if you can't tell... You can't tell them everything and have that kind of trust with each other. It could actually kick in the ass later on, because when you hold that to yourself, being as intuitive as we are when we are in relationships with synchronicity and that kind of thing, you're always going to sense that. And if it's not acknowledged to you about it, what it was, I mean, it doesn't have to go in detail, but I mean, if the guy had a threesome with somebody else and essentially because of the curiosity, he needs to acknowledge that, because if he doesn't acknowledge it,
he would never be in the threesome. I can tell you that for sure.
I'm just saying, with the situation. I've had a lot of situations.
I know that he would never.
I'm just saying, sweetie, I've done a lot of.
Do you know what John is thinking about all this? Like, apparently, Paulette and John are living together now.
I get the impression he has a tendency to feel like a third wheel. That's not because of your boyfriend. I guess it's just the way Paulette treats him in the ideal flirtations with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to look at John, too, as a person who puts up with it. Why does he put up with it? He's got his own insecurities and own fears, where he feels like in some ways he doesn't like being alone. So he has a tendency to put up a little bit more than he should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, what you need to do is start focusing on exactly... in the realm and in this, what you got going on with you, okay?
Okay.
No, I'm serious. You need to sit there, because you want this thing to be something good and great and fantastic, and you need to focus on that. And everybody else will take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. I do not plan to be friends with Paulette anymore.
Really?
Well, yes, she's betrayed my trust.
Okay, sweetie, it's like this. I'm not saying you got to be friends with her, but the one thing you do need to do is forgive her and let her go, because that's just for you. You know,
okay.
The idea, you just got to forgive, and it's like a releasement, letting go of the whole situation, saying, you know something, she is who she is. She really didn't do anything to hurt you. She's just being who she was, which in the process of being who she is, which finally came out, that's what you got hurt. So you just have to sit there and look at yourself and say, you know, I don't think she has any chance of changing anytime soon. So, yeah, I would definitely distance myself because of that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I've been a really good friend to her, so.
Yeah, but see, just because she did what she did doesn't mean you didn't do what you did. It means she just doesn't respect herself enough to respect and appreciate what you've done for her. Because you probably helped her out more than anybody ever has in her whole life.
I did. I really did. took her in. She was having problems with her boyfriend at the time. I handled all her business affairs. I went to court with her. I did everything for her.
Mm-hmm.
I helped her find an apartment. I did a lot for her.
I'm just saying, with the situation and everything, you did, you know, everything you did, you shouldn't look at it as anything less. It's just the idea of the person didn't appreciate it. Doesn't mean you should have done it. I think by doing what you did, when we come out on the other side, she'll be a better person because of it. Maybe it doesn't reflect now, but it will.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing?
Do you feel any remorse of any kind?
Who?
Of what she's done? Like what she's done? You know?
That's one of the situations I'm looking at right now. What you need to do is understand one thing. Just because she doesn't appreciate it now, doesn't mean she won't. That's what I'm saying about on the other side of this whole thing, after we get all through this. Because sometimes with situations, people have to realize that, but they won't realize it until we're gone. I mean, things start setting in.
Okay. So you're saying that she doesn't have remorse now, but maybe at some point in time,
she will.
She'll realize how she hurt me?
Yes.
As well as Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we got to look at the situation, okay? People consider and say it just happened, but it didn't just happen.
Okay. You
know, it's like walking in a room going, oh, I tripped and fell on her. And it just happened. That's impossible. But even if it did happen that way, there was still intent there somewhere. So I'm just saying with the situation and I guess it's just a way of taking things and putting behind us. That's why I say it's so important to forgive and let go of this whole thing so you can focus on basically strengthening this relationship.
Okay, dear. That is the best advice I've had so far. Everybody has advised me to kick him out, and I really am invested in this relationship, and I don't want to do that as much as it's been so painful. And, but you're absolutely right about what I've been trying to seek is the reason as to why it happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're so right about that. You're so right about that.
Yeah, because we're just trying to, you know, what the ideal situation is, we're not trying to, you know, I'm trying to copy this thing. It's not working. It's one of those things of actually salvaging a relationship, not ending it.
Salvaging.
Most people would sit there and say, hey, you know, the guy did what he did. But this is why, we also have to look at it like this, okay? Realistically, do we have the right to condemn somebody for life because of a mistake that they made? Or should we look at the situation and find the core of why they did what they did, so therefore it never happens again? In the process of looking for that, we also realize one thing, too, about them. We still love them. We still care about them. And more likely we're going to find out the same, too, as well. Because this person, we can sit here and look at it any way we want to, but this is a physical manifestation that you created that represents who you are about yourself. Bless you.
Okay, dear. Do you think that Adam is sincere when he says that he wants to go on from here and he doesn't want to lose me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, dear.
Like I said, I do.
I trust all your guidance that you've given me. It's a godsend reading that I'm having tonight. I have had anxiety attacks. I've had panic attacks. I've been very sick as much as trying to, because when I love unconditionally, and so I just feel so hurt. I feel so hurt. And,
well, it's also one of those things of being hurt, too, because you realize that you knew before it even happened, because you had a psychic impression within yourself in the first place that Paulette was not a person to be trusted. So it's almost like you're kind of mad at yourself for letting your guard down to let her in. What I was saying was the things that you did for her will really make a difference in her life, and she will appreciate it. I feel that very strongly. I also feel like a lot of things with your boyfriend, he's also came to some realizations, too, of all the things that you've done for him, too. But I also feel like the reason you need to let go of all this is because it could also be traced back to why you have anxiety and why you feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it could actually contribute to being more healthy. I've actually seen that with mm-hmm. the Archangel. We have the Lover's card. And the Lover's card is also talking about Archangel Raphael.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when you look at the two together, not just the ideal healing, but also Archangel Raphael has a lot to do with the green energy of abundance, too, as well. So they have a tendency to go hand in hand. So what you do with yourself emotionally also affects your life, with your career and that kind of stuff, too, because most of the time it's all connected, because how we feel about those things also has a tendency to reflect how we feel about ourselves.
Dear, do you see Archangel Michael around me? Because I often call on him, and Archangel Raphael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Uriel, and I'm just hoping they're around me.
Yes,
do
they are around.
They guiding me, or?
What's the idea of also working together? It's like looking at angels, archangels, and sin masters, that kind of stuff, on a level of friends. Friends that we can trust unconditionally because they only have one motive. That's you.
Yeah,
so Archangel Michael seems to be the one that you're really focusing on right now, because you really do want to let go of a lot of things. Because you want to move on, and you actually want to see things change for the better. Your curiosity is like looking at the situation going, because he hasn't really told you the truth. Once that truth is out, then I just feel like a lot of things are going on. But I think also the idea of him speaking the truth has a lot to do with you letting go of a lot of things first.
Okay.
Because it's like when you look at Archangel Michael, cut the cords, which means our emotional attachments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also with the situation of your boyfriend, is he also, this might sound crazy to some people, but the ideal of cutting the attachment with your boyfriend, of what he represents, and realizing by detaching from him, actually will work in your favor of having a stronger relationship with him. Because it seems like in some ways you've attached yourself to him because you're scared of losing him. At the same time, you've had some fears because your anger has made you want him to leave, because how he makes you feel in some sense of the word. But I just feel like you both need to learn from the reflections that you're giving each other.
You're amazing.
You are amazing.
This is exactly what we've been experiencing. This every time I think I've forgiven him, we end up fighting. But last night was a real, like, he really, really, really sat down and talked to me last night. But as far as the reason, I still don't know what that is. And you're absolutely right about that. I'm still seeking the reason. I want to hear it from his own mouth as to why it happened.
I'm just saying with the situation. I think it's when, like I said before, work on yourself, detach, cut the cords, any kind of attachment. Cut your attachment to him, too, where it's actually opening up a little more space so he can actually express those to you. But you're right. Until he does, it's going to stick. It's going to be, it's almost like sitting down and having a conversation and telling him flat out. You know, realistically, you can apologize till doomsday, but you're not taking him into consideration. It's my decision. Since you made your decision to do what you did, I have the right to make a decision of what I think I should do, because you did. You made a decision for what you thought was best for you at the time, and I have to do the same. So if you want to help
Donnie,
me...
Donnie, yeah. I have a quick question before you go. Does his family have any sympathy towards me about this situation? Because they know it happened. And I'm just wondering, like, they don't seem to really care.
Well, it's like this. Like I said before, it's not the idea of caring or not caring. It's just the idea of what kind of people they are. And when you look at the situation of being remorseful in other situations, not concerning you, I'm just saying in general with things that have happened, they don't seem to be that emotional.
I'm a very emotional person.
And they seem to be attached, you know, or detached. For those who they're detached. And, you know, when you look at that kind of family, they kind of have a tendency to present themselves as a close-knitted family. But when it comes to the ideal of realism, of what, if you saw them behind closed doors, it's a totally different picture.
Yes, that makes total sense to me. Absolutely, dear.
But like I said before, you have to, you know, he made a decision. And he's thinking that if he sits here and overwhelms you with a lot of apologies and that kind of stuff, I'm not saying he doesn't love you and care about you. I'm just saying he's in defense mode. That he feels like the more he does, the more you're going to give in. So he won't have to basically express what he did and even acknowledge it to himself. So that's what I'm saying. It's one of those things of sitting down and telling you this. But I'm just saying that's what I would say to him if I was you. I would just say flat out that I have not made my decision if I want to stay with you or not, because you're not really telling me the truth about what really happened. Okay, we know you messed around, but there seems to be more to it than just that, because you made a choice to do it, and you keep saying you're sorry for what you did. But that's why he puts it, I'm sorry for what I did, but he doesn't really say what he did.
Okay, dear. That makes perfect sense to me, and I really need to hear this tonight. It's by divine guidance I was drawn to your reading, so I thank you a million because you've picked up on everything that, and I guess I didn't know the correct wording or what to say.
That's what I was saying before.
And that's why I was not satisfied.
That's what I'm saying.
With
that's
his
why
answer.
I would get to a point where I feel confident with myself. I'd sit down with him and say exactly those words and say, hey, you know, I'm not satisfied. Which makes perfect sense, because realistically what he did with the curiosity of, you know, of this situation was because he wasn't feeling satisfied either. So it's like two people coming together to realize there's something on both sides of the equation that they're not totally satisfied with. And now it's a chance to get it out and talk about it. But they're actually talking about it. It's going to be the one key that strengthens this relationship, that reestablishes that bond, because the connection is still there. You can feel that as much as anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's why I feel like I'm more sensible why he's sorry, too, is because he feels it, too, and he doesn't want to lose that. But at the same time, I think it's like a catch-22. He's scared of telling you the total truth because he doesn't want to lose you. At the same time, he really wants to. So it's just like looking at somebody and just saying, hey, dude, now's your chance.
You were absolutely right about the family. Excuse me.
Right.
Okay. You were absolutely right about the family. That's how they portray themselves. And, yeah. I didn't feel like I was getting a lot of sympathy there at all. So.
Well, I just go through life and understand one thing. You know, the idea of even trying to figure if people are or not, just forget that. Because it'll actually put you in a vulnerable place every time anyway, because, you know, people are just not going to react the way we wanted to. They're going to react because of the way they are and who they are. So, therefore, we've got to look at those two and say, okay, could be a good reflection back at you about yourself, where you are you're portraying yourself exactly who you are, because you can see how phony they are. And you couldn't see that unless you knew, being true to yourself, it would be portrayed to you so quickly. That's why I always tell people all the time, you should trust yourself and trust everybody, because when you trust everybody, they have a tendency to really show their colors very quickly.
Dear, I trust everybody all the time.
Mm-hmm. And you see how people present themselves to you when you, because you say that you got that psychic impression with people that you know for a fact, that you, you know, certain things about them. If you didn't have that certain trust with yourself, you would miss that, and they would take advantage of you in some sense of the word. And you can sort of look at the situation, the certain things that were planned out, because they knew they couldn't get over you.
Is that guidance from the angels?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I pick up on. Because I get so much insight, and sometimes it scares me to know how psychic I am. I sometimes feel I'm telepathic, and it really gives me anxiety to know what people's thoughts are. It really does.
Well, you're
looking
like
jealous,
I do.
They're envious, they're this, they're that.
Of course
they are.
They
say things, they want to hurt me,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Just use it for heads up. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen situations of people I won't even associate with because I already know the outcome. I had a lady I was with one time before, and she was like always buying me stuff and doing stuff for me and that kind of stuff, and I just wouldn't go there with her. Now, did I appreciate what she did? Because I've always been taught to accept when people give you things, you know, because you could actually offend people by not accepting. So I accept it all.
Yeah, but you're too precious to be involved in a relationship like that. You
That's
need somebody spiritual and
but I'm also blunt too.
Forgiving
I told her that.
Like you are.
I told her that too. I said, I can't go there with you because I'm not going to go there because, first of all, I don't think you understand what that is. And she was like, well, I do. I said, well, you got two divorces. Kind of looks... I said, your odds don't look good. And she was
uh-huh.
like, well, she was trying to portray. And the idea of a person trying to buy you and buy things for you also gives us insights to that person who doesn't feel like they have any kind of worth, so they have to use money to get you. So it's not the idea of them buying you. It's not the idea of them buying you. It's actually giving us insights to them how they feel about themselves, which is a lack of worth. So their money's a compensation. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the situation,
was
we should understand.
Was she as psychic
yeah.
as you were? Was she
well,
as psychic as you were?
I just... let's put it this way. She
like,
had her
is
moment.
It possible, Don? Is
yeah.
it Donnie, is it possible that you can be with someone who's not as spiritual or psychic as you are?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that you can be in that kind of relationship?
I don't think so, because, you know, if I sit here and look at the situation, like I said before, if we are manifesting people in our lives, which also reflect how we feel about ourselves, I think the bad ones are reflecting how we're not quite there, and the process of moving forward and learning from those experiences puts us on the same page as the person we're supposed to be with, which is basically saying there'll probably be the one of those reflections in our lives that would probably be the strongest reflections about ourselves. So the ideal of, because I've heard this people say this before, and some relationships it works, but when you really sit back and look at those relationships, people who say, I wouldn't be with a psychic because it would be a boring relationship. It usually tells me I'm bored. Usually what it tells me about that person is they see themselves as being boring, so they wouldn't want to share that with them. Me personally, I feel like it's one of those things, if you're going through your life and you're looking for someone to understand you, okay, who would understand you more than somebody else who does the same kind of work you do?
Yeah.
Maybe not
on
the
same, one has,
yeah. So
yeah,
you could it could be a combination of a psychic, maybe the idea of a psychic and a healer. But they understand each other because they realize it's all energy. I'm not saying it has to be another psychic, but everybody is intuitive and psychic and have the abilities to do all kinds of stuff. It's just some people use it on different variations. And we also have people that, like what I do and that kind of stuff, we take it one step further to take our abilities and help others. But people are listening to themselves, are being, you know, they're being intuitive, they're being psychic, they're being clairvoyant, clairaudient, but they're just doing it for themselves to make better decisions in their lives. That's what I'm saying with you. You know, take it look at, like I look at it. When I encounter people being empathic, listen to your intuition, and knowing what people are doing and thinking and that kind of stuff, it's not the ideal. It's just for your personal use of, it's like Spider-Man. He has a spidey sense and warns him of danger, and it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So when next time you have somebody like a Paulette comes into your life, and you have this really strong impression that says, you know something, I shouldn't be dealing with this woman because she's going to do something to me. Listen to yourself and cut it out of your life. And just
I've had a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
Donnie, I've had a lot of lessons as to not listening to my inner guidance from the angels, from God. And I do regret not listening. And then I'll be reminded right away Well, you should have picked up on that. You did pick up on that, and why didn't you trust your guidance, and so on and so forth, and I'm learning. I'm learning now to trust my guidance. I am learning. And
mm-hmm.
what I feel is that Adam is remorseful, and he does want to be with me, and I feel that connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just need him to answer as to why he did what he did. And everything you said is just spot on. I thank you so much. I thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Has really helped me. This has really, really helped me a lot. And I know you have a lot of callers, and I don't want to take up your call queue, so...
Well, thank you for calling
I'll just stay and listen to you, Donnie.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold again, okay?
Okay, listen, thank you. Thank you so much. My love sent to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your reading.
We'll also send some healing energy your way, too, okay?
Oh, that's just precious. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Okay, good night, Donnie.
Okay, that didn't work. All right, there we go. There we go. Back on hold. Let's go to our next caller, which is area code 720. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Area code 720. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm so sorry. I had my phone on mute.
That's okay. We'll forgive you this time.
All right. I'm good. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. So what's your name?
My name is Kasia.
Kasia?
Yep.
Does anybody have a normal name anymore?
It's
a real challenge, I'm telling you, some of the names and stuff. Especially I work on a random, and a random is an international website where you can go in there and see me on webcam and do readings with me. But we actually touch with everybody. And all. It's like Europe, Canada, and some of the people that live in the UK and Ireland, and especially like South Africa and places like that, and India. Got some crazy names, man.
Oh, especially India. They have the longest names ever.
And also trying to pronounce those names. It's like, who, Kashi, Ba. I'm sitting there going, I just feel like I just sneezed. You know, but it's a challenge.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's well worth it in situations.
Well worth it. It's worth a try.
Exactly.
Okay. So my question is,
yes.
What do you see for me for relationships?
Well, it seems like you've had some rough ones.
Yes.
Well, when I look at yours, it's like a roller coaster ride without the car. Very hard.
Yes.
So it's like it can be very hard on your ass. And we all like to have that car underneath of us. And it seems like some of the boyfriends you've had seem to focus on their needs. And then you kind of like are, not to be graphic or nothing, but it's almost like a sexual encounter where you're sitting on the side going, well, he's happy. When do I get something back in return, you know? It's almost like a back rub. You give a back rub, and then the person gives you one, and they go, okay, was that good enough? When it's like you gave unconditionally, and then they have a condition on what they're going to give you back. Does that make sense?
Oh, my gosh, that is so true.
So are you in a relationship now? Because I don't feel like you really are.
No, I'm not.
It's kind of an iffy kind of thing where there's interest, and I think there's interest. It's almost like wiping the slate clean and starting all over again.
Yes.
And let me ask you a question. 720, where is that at?
Is Colorado.
Where are you?
I'm in Longmont by Boulder.
Longmont by Boulder. And we're sitting there going, I've heard of Boulder, but never heard of Longmont.
Yeah, that's why I said Boulder.
Yeah, because I live in Colorado, too.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
I actually live about 5 minutes from Colorado Springs.
Oh, that's pretty far.
Yeah, I actually live in Manitou Springs.
Oh, gee.
Well, doesn't mean you can't come down here from time to time. I have a shop up here, which I maybe I should sit here and say. I was actually going to do that before I actually clicked on your button to call you. or take bring you on the phone, on the show. Let's see, I do. I have a show. I have a shop in Manitou Springs at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. So if you ever get a chance, you should check in. We're there. We're going to be there year-round.
Yeah, that would be cool.
What's the hours?
Colorado
in the summertime, it's going to be like 9 o'clock until probably about 7 or 8. Right now, with the weather and fluctuating, that kind of stuff, it's usually between, we try to get there 11. We're still trying to get out of bed. But it's usually between 12, it's usually between 12 and 7. So,
all right.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, you're coming down on a weekend. We got the holidays going on, and right now we actually have where you can get a, we're actually selling gift certificates. And the way it works is you can actually get, we have these services. We have angel card readings, palm readings, and past life readings as a group. You can get all three of those, which usually on the normal price for a palm reading, well, usually it's $25 because they can be kind of lengthy too. I do really in-depth readings. And then the angel card readings are $30, and the past life readings are $35. But for the holiday season, you can come down now and actually take advantage of all three of those and get them all three for $35.
Cool.
So, when's your birthday?
June 9th.
You're a Gemini.
Yes, I am.
Sometimes people look at those situations and go, you guys can be scary creatures because of, some people are intimidated by the twins, where you can have two personalities. One side is very logical, and the other side is very playful and flirtatious. Okay, but I get the impression that with you, you can be very balanced and have both.
Yes.
You're still working with it, but I think you're a little more successful about it than you give yourself credit for. And it seems like you're a very giving person. And it seems like some people have a tendency to take advantage of that. I would sit there and say, don't stop being who you are. It's just the idea of trusting your intuition of who you should trust and who you shouldn't.
Yeah, people always take advantage of me. I feel like I should just, I do feel like I should change sometimes so that people don't mm-hmm. take advantage of me. But, I mean, the nice girl usually gets over, but I need to stop having that attitude, and mm-hmm. I will find people who aren't going to take advantage of me.
Yeah, I started to put it like this, as, you know, nice girls can kick ass, and
yeah.
That's what you should put it, you know, because realistically, I just go look at the situation and say, you know something, I guess it's one of the things we have to realize, the people that you're attracting don't appreciate themselves, so they have a tendency to do the same thing to you. So you look at the situation and ask yourself, what did you learn from those experiences of the reflection back about yourself? This is not like a judgmental thing. It's just the idea of looking at these things and go, okay, if you have a person who's taking advantage of you, it could simply be a good reflection. It says you do know who you are. It's just the person across the street. Well, that's when you look at those distant relationships where people don't really appreciate you. It's like looking across the street. Because they're looking at relationships as two-way streets. And relationships, realistically, are not two-way streets. And people kind of go, what? Okay. Has anybody ever seen the infinity sign? It's a figure eight. Now, picture energy traveling like that. Okay? Back and forth. Now, see the energy traveling back and forth between two people in a relationship. Then you understand that relationship is a continuous thing. Continuous progression, right? So you have a person. So we also take a figure eight. A figure eight is two zeros, two O's coming together, two rings, two circles. Oh, let's try the circle. I don't like the zero thing because it kind of gives you a bad thing of the perception. But if you have two circles is showing two people who completely love themselves, and then they're going to bring those two circles together to create this infinity between two people, which is a fantastic relationship of continuous and spontaneous love. So you're sitting there going, okay, when do I get that? Are you ready for that? See, I'm not saying you're not. But just because I say you are, you also have to be content with that within yourself too as well. Because you have gone through some things that you still need to let go of, and you know that as well as I do.
Yeah.
It's okay. You just admit to yourself, say, okay, that guy was really an ass. But also look at the situation and say, you know something? Did he really hurt you, or is that just who he is? And in the process of him being who he is, he hurt you because he didn't really appreciate you. So we get we sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, if that's the case, then it's easy to let go of that and move on and realize that's all it was. I think, because when you look at the situation right now, the idea of love in itself, you can actually see a 6-month period where it would be around the summertime before you meet somebody. But as progression goes, I feel like it can actually stems on certain things that you haven't let go of yet. Okay.
All right.
So you take a look at the situation, be realistic with yourself, and go, okay, maybe it could be just simply sitting down and writing a list of people you should forgive, and just forgive them. Because it's like you look at people and say, okay, when you forgive people, you're not condoning them for what they did. And you're not saying, okay, you can do it to me again. What you're saying is, I forgive you for who you are. Because you can only be and do according to who you are. But I have to let you go in the process of forgiving or letting it go. That's what you're doing. Letting go. I let you go. I let myself go. And I move on. I try to do a visualization where you see them fading away.
Yeah, I definitely need that because I have a lot of forgiveness. I have a lot of anger towards the people that have hurt me recently. So.
Yeah, I'm just saying, once you sit down and forgive them and let go of that anger, anger is also a blockage that keeps you getting from what you want, because what you're trying to attract is a loving relationship. You have this anger that's blocking you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you can change this whole thing from, you know, not being with somebody until June to actually bringing it up about 3 months just simply because you haven't done that yet. Anything you do from this point on, any kind of spiritual thing, forgiveness list of forgiving people, even working on yourself and realizing you might have some blockages within yourself, that the things you're hanging on to, each blockage that you give away brings closer to you what you want or who you want.
All right.
We always sit there and say like this, okay? Every person you manifest in your life was a manifestation you created that represents how you feel about yourself. You feel really good about yourself in some sense, or so just continue to do it by doing the forgiveness stuff. Excuse me, letting it go. And then tell yourself you can't love yourself unconditionally if you hate somebody. It's just the idea of realizing why they did what they did, and that's who they are. People say, well, if that's a reflection, and it reflects back to me that I'm a bad person. Reflections are not always. Because we're looking at a person who's not totally being themselves. They could be reflecting back at you that you are, which is what people are taking advantage of. It just says you need to continue to be who you are and let them go who doesn't appreciate that. In the process of doing that, you're telling yourself every time you do it, you do appreciate yourself. You do respect yourself by letting those go. Because all you're doing is disrespecting yourself by hanging on to those memories and those people that you know you should forgive and let go of, because it goes against who you really are.
Yeah.
So the closer you get to being who you are, so I always tell people, the more you know who you are, the more you recognize the person you're supposed to be with. That's why when we meet people, when we're in a good place in our lives, that's why we have those strong connections where we feel like we know that person. The reason we know that person is because we know ourselves. That's why I can sit here and look at you and say, I love you. The reason I can say that to you is because I love myself. So I can love anybody because it's who I am. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, definitely.
Because some people get kind of crazy and they go, what, you love me? If you sit here and question it, then you're questioning how you love yourself. So let's just love each other. Because I think you're an awesome woman. And you deserve to have what you want. It's just, I can sit here and see that. But until you see it, it could keep you from having it, okay?
Okay.
When you get a chance to cut a man of two strings, hey, you know something? Just show up. We'll just sort of look at the situation. A friend from the radio show just showed up, and well, I usually charge everybody else. I won't charge you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. I'll let you go now.
All right. You have a great night. And please, at least get back with us and tell us how things go with you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye now. Holy. Let's see here, guys. what we're going to do here, we're going to go over some things real quick and smoothly, okay? If you want to get a private reading with me, please do so. I forgot about telling you about the shop. We're trying to get everything going on. We're actually trying to put pictures and stuff on the website so you can get some pictures of what it's all about. We're still working on that whole thing, which is kind of great because we do have a website. So all we have to do is add the pictures. Okay, so if you want to come to Manitou Springs in Colorado, all you have to do is come to Manitou Springs and go up Manitou Avenue, and you look for 946 and a half, which is right next to 946, which is the Flying Eagle t-shirt shop, okay? In that process, we're open right now, realistically, between 12 and 6. We try to stay open until 7. Depends if we get any snow, okay? Also, if you want to contact me for phone readings and email readings and through Skype, please do so at 740-500-8863. Or contact me on my home phone at 719-344-8699. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Until after the Christmas season, you can actually call or come and show up. We do have to do it for different prices at the shop. Right now we got palm readings. Right now we have a special on palm readings, $5. Also with the situation of angel card readings are $30 and past life readings are $35. Now we do all kinds of stuff. We do life coaching, relationship counseling. We work with children who have special gifts, with parents who are not really sure what to do in the situation of working with everybody, so we can actually help that child progress with their abilities. I actually do mediumship work, too, where we can connect to past loved ones. And I do say connect, okay? Connection means they will be coming through to communicate with you. We do not contact them. We do not do seances and that kind of stuff. We do have if you're a person who wants to contact us to actually investigate any kind of things you got going on in your home, and the ideal scene if you actually have a haunted house, we actually have a paranormal group called Psychic Ex-Journeyman's Paranormal Investigators. We'd be glad to come and check it out. So give us a call on that, too, as well. We work with children. We also do parties. We do charity events, too, as well. So if you have a charity event that you'd like for us to come and check out, please don't hesitate to have us there, because no charge, no fee. We'll just show up and try to help you hit the goal you see, okay? So then, you know, it's all like working together as a group to make sure that you, whatever charity function you have going on, we can actually hit that goal so you can actually help the people you're trying to help. And we'd be glad to help you out with any kind of anything we can do, all right? With the situation, that kind of stuff, too, it's $1 a minute if you call me on the phone. Or any kind of phone services and that kind of stuff, contact me through the website and that kind of stuff. Right now, for the holiday seasons, and on the show here, it's $1 a minute for any kind of variation. And now, our 90-minute sessions usually go for $135, but right now for this month, or actually for the holiday seasons, you can get it for $1 a minute. So that's $90 instead of $135. And usually, 75-minute readings usually go for $125, but now they're only $75. Same thing with 45-minute readings. They usually go for, I want to say $100. But right now for this holiday season, you're going to get it for $1. You can get it for $1 a minute. We actually have email readings, too, as well, where you can actually get a 7-card, 5-question reading through email, which usually costs you $75. And for the holiday season, it's only $50. If you want to just take advantage of the smaller variation, which is 5 cards and 3 questions, it's only $25. All right, so give us a call. We'd be glad to sit down and talk to you. And if you have a party, it's usually $150 for parties, but right now for the holiday season, you can get us for $75. And we can actually do that through Skype, too. And it's really cool when you do things through Skype, because it's like the same expression. It's like the same experience. It's just that we like to sit and reach out to as many people as we can. So if you're in Washington State, we're in Colorado, but we can still be there through Skype. So therefore, you know, let us show you what the experience is all about, okay? It's all about the work and helping people in any kind of variation and any kind of setting, because you'd be amazed how these things work and how the spiritual thing works and the idea of connecting with people. So if you want to experience that, and especially on the holiday season, it is a magical thing. So just give us a call, 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. 344-8699, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And if you really want to do something through Skype, you can contact me on that whole thing too. Or you can just go on Skype and contact me through my Skype name, which is donald.reed8. It's all in small letters. And 8 is 8, the figure 8. Okay, that's all you got to do. And you can contact me just that easy. All right? Okay, but if you want to get a reading here tonight, we still have an hour and 15 minutes. It's now 9:09. Well, it's actually 9:10 p.m. Mountain Time here in Colorado Springs. I mean, near Manitou Springs, actually Manitou Springs near Colorado. And it's this is November 24th, 2012. It is now kicking in around, like I said, we got about an hour and 15 minutes. And if you want to get a call, give a call and get a reading with us. We got plenty of time. So just give us a call at 646-721-9031. Okay. If you're a person who also wants to sit there and take your phone bill and make it cheaper, like take it from $150 to $45, try out Straight Talk. They got great phones now, really improving on a lot of things, so check it out. All right? All you got to do is, realistically, just go to www.straighttalk.com, or you can go to Walmart if that's one more convenient for you, too, and get the whole thing. And it's only $45 every month for unlimited everything. So check it out. It'd be great for you. We also have situations of meditational CDs. People are always asking me how can it be easier to meditate. And I found these CDs called HemiSync CDs and BrainSync CDs. So give those a shot too as well. Go to www.hemisync.com. They have MP3 downloads where you can actually download them and use them as soon as possible. Or you get the CDs, whichever's good for you. Okay, and also BrainSync, the same thing. BrainSync's a little bit different than HemiSync, because HemiSync is, you have music and tones and that kind of stuff that work together. But you also have the other one, too, on the other, on BrainSync. BrainSync is subliminal CDs, subliminal downloads. So check those out, too, because it's actually improved a whole lot more than it has since the 1970s, when they used to have the same thing. It's a whole lot different. And I've actually used these CDs, and it's amazing when you start listening to these things how much it really changes your perception, because actually what it is, it's actually affirmations. But instead of doing affirmations like most of us do, you're going to take about 5 or 10 minutes, and some of these things are actually giving you the same affirmations over and over again for an hour, or sometimes 30 minutes, whichever the variations are. But it's really cool. You should check it out, okay? All right, let's go on to our next caller. It's amazing how people are just, let's see, I want to sit there and check out the chat room too for 1 second, but it's kind of crazy with some of the things that keep going back and forth, when you look at people and say, hey, you know something? Be patient. You'll love it. It does make a difference in the idea of being patient. So let's go back to if anybody has any questions in the chat, please ask. Like I said, if you want to really get a reading, please call in and see what we can do there. All right, just go. And let's go to area code 917. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
How are you? Thank you for all of that information. I'm grateful.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry. Sometimes I wonder the situation I'm going. Some people have a tendency to go, well, I don't need to know all that stuff. I'm sitting there going, I think you do, and I think you're fooling yourself. Because people are just like, I still believe this. Everything that crosses your path for a reason.
Oh, okay. Well, I would like to know, what do you get from my amazing boyfriend, Corey, in our relationship?
So he's an amazing boyfriend, but you want to know what's going to happen, huh?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, are you from New York?
Yes, I live in New Jersey. I'm right next door to it.
Okay. I always ask that anymore, because with the idea of cell phones, people have a tendency to move. So they still have the same number where they move from, but they're in a totally different state.
Absolutely.
So I was like, okay, because I have a friend of mine who actually has the same area code you do, 917, but she lives in New Orleans now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just keep it. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. It's a lot better than a driver's license, right? Wish we could do the same thing. Now, with the situation, so you're asking a question about what's going to happen with you and Corey, right?
Yes, sir.
And when you have the situation going on, it's kind of crazy that you're asking that question when you're very intuitive yourself.
Thank you, I hear.
So, and I was like, okay, so you know what's coming up. It's almost like you're looking for a confirmation.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult to see for yourself, especially with women. You know, we have emotions involved. So I know if I come to you, you're going to get it straight. So that's why I'm here to listen.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, when you sit and look at the situation of all the things that are happening, you know, I keep getting some great impressions where the first one I would get there without even looking at the cards, I can see that the happy outcomes, but it's also the idea of crucially important with your relationship is for both of you to be really be yourselves. You know, some people have a tendency to wonder what that means because some people have a tendency to embrace their egos, not realizing, no, that's not it. To be oneself is to realize that you're a spiritual being in a human body.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of connecting with oneself is connecting with your spirit. I swear, next time I hear someone say, this person hurt me down to my soul, yes, he did, but he didn't touch your soul because it's impossible to do. The soul cannot be touched. That's what we have the human body. It's what we have the aura. We have chakras. And all these things get touched, but they're also filters.
Mm.
Okay? We're always clearing the chakras. We're always clearing our auras. We're always talking about these things, about that kind of stuff. And really what that is all that stuff that we're being subjected with, we can get rid of so easily. It's just our ego has to come in and say, well, you know, you don't want to let go of that. Because you remember what happened last time? And it's just a play on fears. But with this situation, the biggest thing I pick up with Corey is a happy person.
Yes.
And when you look at the situation, he reflects you like a mirror.
Yes.
So when we sit and look at the situation, you can see exactly what's going to happen because you can see yourself. And you can honestly sit there and look at Corey and say, I love you because you love yourself.
Absolutely.
Now, some of these people sit there and say, I love myself, but I don't like my ass. See, they're lying to themselves because they're not being totally honest because they don't love themselves unconditionally because they don't like their ass. But see, that's almost like saying I don't love myself because my Camaro has a dented fender.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. So why would you do the same thing with your body? It's the ideal. I've seen some ladies. There was this one lady I saw on the X Factor. She was a really heavy black woman. But she loved herself, and she sang. You could hear when she sang gospel and stuff. This woman, you could just hear how much she really loved herself. Now, some people look at her and say, well, you know, she's out of shape. But that's your perception. Her perception is she loves herself because she knows who she really is. And I love those kind of situations and those kind of people because they started realizing a long time ago that people are going to say something no matter what you do or you don't do. And if you start trying to please everybody, the one person you're not pleasing is yourself. Well, so I sit here and look at the situation because I was actually focusing the cards. I was actually going to pull some cards, and I just don't feel like I need to. But cause here's one for you. Happy times. Make positive, optimistic, long-term plans. Please do so because you guys are on the right path. And I feel like the ideal, what's been established here is the ideal of being true to oneself. The more you, because I was telling this lady the day, this is a true fact, that the more you feel, see, individuality is the key to the strength within a relationship. See, people have a tendency to say, well, you have to give up who you are in the process of situations. But those people are constantly longing for something that they didn't experience, which has a tendency to always be there in some sense of the word. And see, the idea of choice of children and that kind of stuff makes people make different choices, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying you should neglect your children. But at the same time, I think in the process of still trying to figure out and balance things out, of actually focusing on careers and stuff, what you really want to do, will be more beneficial to your children than not. Because if you sit there and show them what you're giving up, isn't it also feeding the lack of limitations that you can't do it? When this challenging experience just happened for you, to show you that you can actually take on the law, and you're cutting one out in favor of the other, when actually it's saying, no, you want balance in your life? You have to have both. You made a choice, but it's not a death sentence. Because I was looking at those cards, and you're on the right path. You are on the right path. Now, you have some bothersome details sometimes with things you guys got going on and competing goals. And sometimes you have a conflict with others. Okay?
Yes.
But with the situation with the relationship, So it's one of those things of dropping back to friendship and saying, okay, this, because, you know, realistically, when you sit down and you start talking to each other and you tell each other everything and anything, you know, that's what we call best friends.
But why is he's being quiet right now. Do you know why?
Well, it's quietness is the idea of going within self. Because, see, the biggest delusion I've ever seen is the idea of people saying, well, he's ignoring me. When actually what he's doing is he's just focusing on himself. So the reflection back at you is asking yourself to do the same. He's quiet. Go ahead, sorry.
No, absolutely.
So I was looking at that. But I'm just saying, you know, the one thing we get caught up in the most is the idea of trying to figure the other one out when the reflection is not about trying to figure them out.
But did I hurt him?
I get no. I get to see more of a reflection of him thinking about things. I mean, progressing. This thing, it's like you look at a relationship, it's progressing forward. And then start, these guys have a tendency to start wondering what you're going to come up with next. What do you want to do?
You know, our interactions have been very peaceful, but I've given him a lot of space. But he's just really being quiet now. So, I mean, I haven't been speaking to him now for a minute. So that's why I was wondering, like, is that okay? I mean...
Well, like I said before, take a step back and look at yourself, okay? Listen to your guidance. Is it saying anything to you? And realistically, be honest with yourself and say, okay, you really feel anything. Don't let your ego come in and say, okay, I think you should be doing something, because if you don't have any kind of interaction here, he might forget who you are, he might do something stupid. Those are fears that your ego is playing on and bring them to the surface, okay? Okay, you don't want to make a decision in those faces of those fears. You want to sit here and face those fears and realize, okay, that's all they are. Acknowledge them as something that... It's like a prompting that's coming from your ego. When you stop and pull away from that and honestly listen to your guidance, you just put your ego where it belongs.
But he went from wanting to be totally close and up, you know, up, we were constantly in each other's presence and I was really busy and he was, you know, a little upset that I had time for everyone else but him. So you're right, then I had to sit back and you know, just compartmentalize some things. But then it's like now he's quiet, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what happened now? It's just a little, we went to extremes, that's what I'm trying to say.
No, I know. What I feel right now is the ideal, you're giving him space, why?
Well, I'm giving him space so that he can reflect, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure that he wanted to continue.
I get the impression of the idea to continue the relationship. I think in some sense of the word, there's a little, I don't want to say jealousy, but it was the idea of not getting attention. So it's like pulling away, thinking about himself, focusing on who he is, but also a little bit of making you want to miss him, to appreciate him. And it's one of those things where you feel like someone, you need to both sit down and talk about the situation and go, okay, just because I didn't have time for you doesn't mean I don't appreciate you. I also appreciate you to the point where I thought you would understand that. Because actually, you both should feel it. And you should sit there and go, okay, this person is busy with somebody else. And you should feel content with yourself to realize that when the day is over with, who do they want to be with? And trust that.
Okay, well, I have another question. Ex-boyfriend, Louis, what do you get from him?
Your ex-boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay, what I get an impression with that whole situation is it keeps coming off me very close, very, very quickly. Forget it. It's almost like you get the impression, don't even go there.
No, but I have a child with him, so I just want
to... Okay, I'm saying what the situation is, you don't need to try to figure him out. It's just the ideal. You have a child together, and that's the most concerning part about this whole situation. Okay? What I mean by that is I've heard these situations before where people start being certain ways, and you're trying to figure out, why is he acting that way? You know, I had the same thing with my ex-wife, and I started realizing that... Who cares about her alternative motive or what she's even doing? My focus was always on children. So I would go visit my children. If she would hit on me or do something like that, I would take my children somewhere else. I said, I'm sorry, but you're married, and I'm not going there. Because this is how this whole thing started in the first place, because you're married to my brother. You know. So we learn from these experiences and say, okay, what's more important here? And it's actually the children.
But the father had someone negative around him. The woman was doing like voodoo and some negative things, and her house is burned to the ground. So
What I'm saying with the situation, like I said before, the children are important. So you look at the situation, what is best concern. Maybe you don't want to go there, but trying to figure him out is not going to help you figure it out.
No, that's all. I'm just asking you what energy was around him and if it was okay for my son to go with him.
You know, until I pick up on that guy, I keep getting an idiot. No backbone. Jelly legs. And letting women walk all over him.
He does what now?
He's got a jelly backbone and jelly legs, which means he lets people walk all over him, especially this woman. Is she still part of his life? Because she seems to be like a kite. She just kind of like filters in from time to time.
Absolutely, but do you see her leaving? You describe the situation totally.
And I get the impression that until he gets a backbone, I get the impression she'll still keep coming back in and out.
But, I mean, what about the voodoo? What was she doing that her house burned to the ground?
She's a woman who's got a little bit of knowledge and has no idea what she's doing.
Absolutely.
And it's what, like I said before, how old is your child?
8.
I kind of find a feeling. Yeah, we talk about affinity tonight, right? Here we have a figure 8. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Well, because the woman, she put some type of, she put something in the father's food because she's from Haiti, and blood and blood clots came out of his, you know what, and he told me about it. So I was like, you know, like you said, I am intuitive, and he was afraid. So I said, okay, why don't you just pray? And I said, you know what, you're going to go to the hospital. I said, in 2 weeks, you're going to be okay. I said, they're not going to find anything. And he came back and they
took off of him. It was just stuff that he ate and ingested. You really want to question, what the hell's wrong with him?
I don't know, but, you know, and for the most part, you know, I've moved on. But, you know, I still have to protect my son because, like you say, he doesn't have a backbone. So I was like, oh, no one is going to be, you know, doing anything towards my son. So that's my concern. I'm not with the father, but I just wanted to make sure that my son wasn't near this person because he's not in a relationship with this person, but she would speak to him here and there. So that's what you said about the kite. You were correct. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, when I look at the situation, I keep getting that it's something that trying to get him, get, it's almost like you get the impression of getting your son out of the situation. Because, the reason I really strongly feel that way, because not just the one woman, but it's just, he doesn't really have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a tendency to bring things around his kid, and it's almost like he has a really hard time conceiving he's a father.
Absolutely. That's true.
He treats his son like a brother, which is weird. Anyway, I have kids too. I treat them like sidekicks, okay? But I don't treat them. But I don't treat my daughter like my sister. Believe me.
Well, exactly. But like you said, I wouldn't want, because I know that he doesn't have a backbone, he portrays it because he's a really big guy and he, you know, uses his brawn to cover it up. I'm sorry?
Usually these big guys who have a tendency to be the pushover.
Yeah, so I just knew that, you know, if my son goes somewhere, then someone else would, you know, be doing things or saying something, and I wasn't going to give up that power. So that's why I'm asking, you know. But do you see the person leaving soon? Will my son be able to go with the father?
That's kind of crazy. Because when I focus on the situation, right, I keep getting no.
Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. I knew I shouldn't. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Do you see a time frame? Because, you know, I don't want to be guilty of keeping my son away from him, but, you know, I put a lot into him to make sure that he would be, you know, a really good citizen and a really good person. Do you see a time frame of when he may be able to go with the father?
Shoot. It's my song. In some ways it could be insensitive, but I don't think like it is. I feel like it's for the best interest of the child. I keep getting that not till after the first of the year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're right, because I was like, oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ooh, and the father, I think that he just, I don't know. Anyway, okay, but do you see that person leaving? Is she leaving soon for good?
Well, she's... Like I said before, I don't feel like that she's going to be leaving the picture completely. I feel like she's going to come back in, come in from time to time where she just shows up. And she'll keep doing that until he says otherwise.
Okay.
That's why I was saying about the child too. Until he gets, until he actually says no, and she's gonna keep coming back in from time to time.
Yeah, but he's not in a relationship with her, so that's what I don't understand. And actually, I think that she's gonna end up trying to hurt him. I get that she's gonna do something to him because of the lies and the things that he's done.
To who? Your ex?
To my ex.
Well, I guess that's one of the things I was picking up too about the idea of keeping your child away from the situation because of all the stuff he's going to be going through.
Yeah, her house is to the ground the end of August, the beginning of September, and she lost everything. And I was like, oh my goodness, what was she putting out in the universe for something like that to happen?
Yeah, with that kind of intensity of a fire of burning what it did too also makes you wonder the same. I could give you some insights to the situation of the lady, but I just don't feel like she really knows what she's doing.
No, she doesn't. Well, she said that she was going to move. That's why I asked that. When she lost everything, I think she said she was moving to North Carolina, but she may go back to Haiti, so that's why.
Mm-hmm. It might be one of those ricochet effects, too, where she bounces North Carolina and she finally makes it back, but... I also feel like there's going to be some variations with that whole thing. Once she does go through the idea of moving, I mean, she's pretty much done, where you could actually have a little more confidence about letting your son go.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Wow. Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, with Corey, do you see when he's going to open back up and when he'll finish doing the introspection?
I get the impression with the situation, communication between the two of you is, I keep getting 2 weeks. But when I say 2 weeks, I don't mean there's going to be no communication at all. It's also a variation and certain, well, I guess there is certain variations, but I definitely see interaction and communication. I just feel like in 2 weeks it should be really good.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, because we had a disagreement yesterday, but...
Okay. mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's funny because he's intuitive, I'm intuitive, you know, you're right. So it's like everybody's trying to read each other's mind. We're really hilarious. Now, I had to keep the father away. Do you see a time when we all will be able to get together and the father will be mature about me seeing Corey?
Say it one more time.
Okay, since I started dating Corey, you know, when he stated, you know, the things that he wanted and he didn't want, you know, any trouble and things like that. So the father was used to me being by myself. And I told him that, you know, whenever I did meet someone and when I felt like it would be serious, that I would introduce him to him, you know, so that he would still be able to come to the house and, you know, pick up my son because he has to have a relationship with him. But the father is very immature, as you've stated, and he said that he wasn't going to do that. And, you know, he still was, you know, competitive, like I'm in a relationship with him or like he owns me. So I was asking you, do you see a time frame when the father would be able to interact with Corey and I in a mature manner?
Gosh, the way it comes to me now, you guys be in a freaking nursing home by the time that happens. You know?
Okay, so the father, so don't even try to have a mature conversation with him then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the ideal situation is just the idea, like, I've done this with my ex-wife, because my ex-wife used to do the same thing.
Yeah, I was mature with him because, you know, throughout our relationship he cheated and, you know, did foolish things. So I said, well, you know, one day, you know, even though we're not together, I said, one day when I meet someone, you know, I'll make sure that we sit down since he's going to be helping to raise our son, you know, so that you can have a rapport with him. And he said he's never going to do that. And I was like, how could you even say that? And why would you not want to compromise for your child? That's that's not right. That's how you described him. You described him totally. And you know what? It's karma, because he's a model, and he was on a TV show, and things didn't even work out for him. So he doesn't even realize the energy that he's putting out, you know, for him not even to be successful.
Model?
Like 35.
I'm not trying to look at the situation.
He's 35 and still wants to model. He needs to give it up.
I was trying to think about the situation, like I did with my ex-wife, okay? She's not cooperative about anything. She is who she is. She has no intentions of changing. And it's kind of funny to watch people who really don't change and refuse to do so and still hang on to this freaking ego and all the stuff goes with it. And like I said before, she's married my brother. So my youngest daughter, you live with them, and I have my oldest one. And we sit here and used to have this little variation, okay? But it came to the point where she wouldn't cooperate. So I started saying, well, I go to my mom's, you bring the daughter over, or else I'll go get her. I don't socialize with her. I just pick my kids up and leave. And the idea of having any kind of relationship with anybody that I know?
Hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying with the situation with him. It's like, I just don't feel like he's going to be cooperative. So the idea of having a relationship with anybody that you're with, be, like I said before, be simply just saying, come pick him up and go. Because it's, I mean, everybody wants to be sociable. But this guy here is, I hate to say this, but he just got those freaking roots where he thinks he's a king. That was a past life. It doesn't carry with this life. Even the idea, like you said before, he doesn't really believe that you guys are not together anymore, and he still feels like he has the right to control you. Because, and when you look at the ideal of the sun is like a pawn.
So he was a king in the past life?
Yeah, because it comes off as a king asshole. Anyway, I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, mentalities of certain lifetimes, a king ruled in a certain way. Now, some people would look at him as an ass, but some people would look at him as just a person who's dictating in certain ways, okay?
Well, and are you saying that he was a king, or are you just being facetious with his attitude?
I think both. Anyway, but actually, okay. But realistically, when I was actually picking up a lifetime, a past life that he had. What's your ethnic background?
African-American, but we're like Indian. He looks like he's almost Caucasian, though, because He has someone in his family was mixed with something, because he has light eyes, like light green eyes, and they change colors.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done something like that. He's a really nice looking man.
I'm just saying with the situation, okay? Well, I also have to put some clarification in what kings look like and pharaohs and stuff like that. And a lot of them wasn't really good looking.
Okay.
It's the ideal that people had a tendency to, I guess we use the word respect them because of
yes.
their position. And see, if you look at life, if you look at our society right now, people have a tendency to look at people in the same way. If they have a certain position, doesn't mean they could be the stupidest person in the world. Just because they have a certain position, people have a tendency to respect that position when they should actually be looking at this thing realistically. Because there's a lot of things going on right now because of certain people in certain situations. And it's amazing how society reflects to those things, because I call it the kiss-ass syndrome, where everybody says, okay, this person is in this position, so they have a tendency to adopt certain things that they would never do.
Well, do you see him having any type of stability soon? Because he still lives at home with his mom, and, you know, he's just dating and going around like he's in high school.
Well, interesting. I'm sitting here looking at the situation of any kind of maturity going on here, because he gives me the same mentality of an alcoholic.
Wow.
Because do you know what I mean by an alcoholic? See, an alcoholic, you can usually understand their personality and their maturity of when they start abusing alcohol. So if they started abusing alcohol when they were 16, they stop maturing. So they have a mentality of a 16-year-old. He seems like it, when he started abusing, and this is what comes to me, when he started abusing the idea of disrespecting people, he stopped maturing. And that's where he's at right now. So the idea, when you look at this person, is it possible for him to mature? I'm not saying that's not something that could happen, but anytime in the near future, like in the next 2 years, you're still going to be dealing with this guy who comes off, like you said, like a 16-year-old.
Well, wait a minute. This is a question I have. Now, there's a person around him. When I'm taking him to court for child support, do you see that they're going to help him? Or what? Because you're right. The way he is mentally, he just needs to get it together. But I think there's two people around him. Do you see them helping him, giving him advice for the child support, or would I be able to deal with him by myself?
Well, when I look at the situation like this, I get a really strong impression that he's got people giving him advice. And then I get another impression that he shouldn't be doing that because they have no idea what they're talking about. So you're going to be, but I get the impression the question you're asking is, you're still just dealing with him.
Okay, great. Yeah, good. Okay, good. Cool.
I'll take a deep breath, and I'm just saying we got some callers in the queue too I want to get to as well, so.
Okay, so, all right, so, good. Okay, thank you. But you just said that you do see Corey, okay, you see us being okay within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But the one thing I got the most impression on, too, is the idea, what I was asking before about why are you giving him space, because he really hasn't asked for it, okay? Now, I understand the respect of doing that. If someone sits there and wants some space or just notioning they need space, but he doesn't, and I feel like that, in some sense, the word initiating a conversation between the two of you wouldn't be a bad thing to do either. But
he's acting like he has a little bit of animosity because he thought that I was still talking to my ex. He was coming over to the house when I first started dating him. So he's a very observant individual, and it's just like he was within himself because I was giving him a whole bunch of attention. So
I'm just saying he also needs to understand one thing with his observation. He needs to learn from him instead of feeding into his own insecurities.
So you're saying I should go talk to him, or will he just come? He'll just come over
saying,
here.
It's like one of the situations. I get the impression in the next couple of days, you might actually get it and be able to communicate with him. And you should suggest the ideal actually sitting down and talking about this whole thing, because it's really one of those things of a person understanding is looking at situations realistically and go, okay, man, did you see what happened between me and my ex, and the idea of how we actually communicate and that kind of stuff? It's not as kosher as you think it is. And you need to look at it realistically.
Okay. So he's not afraid of moving forward. Okay.
No, he's not scared of moving forward. It's like the ideal. It's like using his observations and say, okay, what did you see?
Okay.
Because his insecurity has a tendency to make him see one thing when actually he really sees it for what it is. So I get the impression that you resuming this relationship, realistically, it's not even whole.
I'm sorry, you said realistically it's not what, sir?
Realistically, it's not on hold.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have a great night. And like I said before, you know, give us a call and see what's up and get a chance to do a private reading. Be glad to do one for you.
Absolutely. Okay, and you're on what days do you have your show?
We're on Fridays, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, and then we're on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time.
Okay, Friday, Saturday, and Wednesday. Okay.
Mhm.
And what time is that for Eastern Standard Time?
There's a 2 hours difference. So here would be 8, there would be, what, 9:10?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Thank you for calling in, okay?
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to our next caller. That would be area code 862. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Jane Michaels.
Jane Michaels.
Yeah.
The Jane Michaels Show. I can hear that. So how can I help you today, tonight?
I was calling, you know, in reference to relationship. I was supposed to get married. It didn't go through. And we've been apart for a while now. So I was wondering, is there a chance for us to get back? And is he ever going to, like, reach out to me?
I get the impression he's going to reach out to you. And I get the impression he's going to come. I get the impression he's going to get back with you and you're going to work this thing out. I'm just kind of curious of what happened.
You said what happened?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, actually it was my fault. I had a meltdown during the preparation. You know, I had expectations from family. And which they didn't come through. I learned a hard lesson, though. So he got scared. I thought, okay. Because he was previously married and it didn't work, so he got really scared, like, am I making the right decision now, or is this a sign for me? You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's also a person who's not using what's going on now as a basis for making that decision. He's feeding into a fear of what happened. So.
Yeah, when I had the meltdown, it kind of scared him because when he went through his previous marriage, that didn't work, yeah.
Yeah, but realistically, marriage had nothing to do with it. That was the person he was with. And the idea of the situation, what you were going through, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And he's not taking consideration of that stress. You know, this is a little bit self-centeredness of saying, okay, of course there are insecurities he definitely needs to confront. But the situation of being distant is not going to solve the problem, because realistically what's going on is he has a fear of committing to you in that kind of situation. So how is he going to confront that fear? You know what I mean?
Well,
you cannot confront a fear of intimacy if you're not intimate. You cannot confront a fear of trusting people if you don't trust people and intermingle with people. And the idea of being distant here, what is he trying to prove? He's just really, realistically what he's doing is he's just enmeshing himself in his fears. Because you both manifested each other for one thing. Not just the idea of having a great relationship, but the process of having that great relationship, you also realize that you have some fears that you need to confront to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to confront these fears, not run away from them. And that's what he's doing. Your situation was your fear kind of mounted up in the process of a breakdown, because it was a scary situation for you, because you both just dealt with it in a different way. You broke down and had this breakdown basically because your fears too, is this going to work out? You just dealt with it a different way than he did. But you also looked at the situation where you're still wanting to work it out. He's kind of like needing to do the same. So I get this really strong impression you're going to work it out, but you need to, how do we put this? I get the, not to, you don't need to do anything, but I do feel like an opportunity is going to come up for you guys to sit down and talk to each other. And you need to confront that situation. He needs to realize one thing. His ex, his marriage that he had before, has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but do you see a time frame?
You guys, so what you're saying to me right now is you're not communicating with each other at all.
No, not at all.
I still get a 2-week period on this too. But like I said before, I think the more you let go of this whole thing, the opportunity to actually communicate will happen quicker. Because I get this impression with you that you feel like you have to do something.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I get this strong impression that you need to hear, you feel like you need to do something.
It feels like he needs to do something or me?
No, you, what I'm saying is, I feel like you need, you're feeling within yourself that you feel like you need to do something.
No. I mean, for us to get back?
Yes.
No, not really. I just left. I just prayed about it. I didn't even call. I just stayed away because.
Okay, let me say one thing. What I'm saying is, there's a problem. I'm not saying you're doing anything. What I'm saying is, if you're sitting trying to tell me there's no prompting within yourself that you feel like you need to do something, then you should sit there and listen to yourself. Okay, you're praying. Okay, great. You're not calling. You're not doing anything. You're giving them space. I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying that there's a prompting within you where you feel like you need to do something, so you're kind of feeling helpless. And what I'm saying to you is, realistically, you've already put your intentions out there. And it's amazing when people pray over and over and over again. That's also realistically when you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You're actually feeding into the situation that you don't believe it. Because, you know, realistically, when you sit there and when you order something from a catalog, you only do it once. And God hears you the first time. It's just that you need to allow things to happen.
I think what it is that, not that I think, I know what it is, you know how you pray for something to come through and it came?
Uh-huh.
And I feel really bad because I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me to blame it on somebody else to feel burnt. But the only way I know I can actually be a better person is to confront what I did wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then I get to learn the lesson. I feel bad because I put very trivial things before me and him. And for someone that did it before, he took the complete, it's amazing what he did. When I look back, and I can tell you this with all my heart, I could trust him. I could rely on him. But I allowed a lot of irrelevant things. And when everything fell apart, I didn't even hear from my family or now that I'm getting the support.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been terrible. I mean, it's been one thing or the other. And I even lost my dad this year. You know, everything was happening at the same time. So I just feel really bad. Like, you prayed for something. It came. Because you know the usual way we women write, and I place it in my prayer altar. Well, we broke up. I was kind of cleaning up. And then I saw that list. It had everything I prayed for in it. And then I felt really bad. Like, and why would you treat it the way you did? You know? Because I was the one that was quick to snap. I was the one that was, it's like, and I got really disappointed in my family because I'm like, you guys really wanted me to do this, but here it is, and then I'm not getting any support. But it was a very, very bitter pill I had to swallow because I had to learn about my family at the expense of my happiness, and then person isn't there now. So that's the only thing because, you know, I beat myself up all the time. And then I'm like, okay, hope you learned your lesson. And it's been one thing or the other. And I really believe it's an opportunity for me to be more mature and understand.
Well, of course,
a lot of things that I didn't want to pay attention to. So I feel bad, you know, and I say,
Okay, I agree with that to a point, but also the situation is you can only be what you are and who you are, okay, with the situation. You set the ideal of trying to be anything else because a person doesn't appreciate it. When you look at the situation, we have manifested, you guys, we'll put it this way, you both manifested each other in the process of facing these fears, okay? We also have to realize, in order to manifest someone in your life, it's definitely a reflection that you just manifested, which reflects you, which is about you. Okay, so when you look at him, the best way to learn from the situation what you want to do, as in maturing and being a better person, is to learn from the reflection he's giving back about you, about yourself. But also, with this kind of relationship, he also needs to do the same thing. That's what I'm saying with the situation of him distancing himself. He doesn't want to look at himself because he also realizes he also overreacted too, which he did. Okay, so when he looks at you, he sees that reflection about himself and the things he needs to work on too as well. Okay, so you look at the situation. This is not a blaming thing. It's just a learning thing, a place to work, a place to look at, to realize that marriage should have gone on. Okay, he wasn't being totally honest with you either before this marriage got going on too, or he should have said some things about these insecurities, which in the process of you having your breakdown came to the surface. But they could have been worked out. In the process of working his insecurities out, of working together, you also would have done the same thing with yours, so the situation would never have happened. Okay, but you can't sit there and blame yourself for something he did, or blame yourself because of the way he reacted. He reacted because of how he feels about himself, which you're reflecting back at him. Okay? So look at yourself, take time, and sit there and reflect on your fiancé, and say, okay, what does he reflect back at me about myself that I haven't learned? I guarantee if you start looking at that and start working on those issues within yourself, I get the impression you'll see him gravitate back to you. And you won't have to do anything. That's what I'm saying. As in what we think we have to do, trying to understand him is not going to help you understand you.
Uh-huh.
The reflection is to work on you to understand yourself more. Then you understand why he did what he did too as well. Then it makes it easier to actually find the solution.
Yeah, and what makes it even harder is he lives very far from me. Okay, so the distance, even it was a problem, he worked through it. You know, I was hoping when we get married, I mean, it would be a lot easier. But living apart and this breakup is not even helping. So that's why I wonder when, if he's ever going to reach out,
mm-hmm.
and if the opportunity is still there for us to get back.
Okay. I'm just trying to sit there and dictate something. I'm talking to people everywhere. Sometimes I wonder about the chat room itself. But, you know, someone said before, you guys need to interact. But right now, until you do, like they always say, every good thing you desire comes to you. Since he's not coming to you, he's not good for you. Okay? So it's a reflection back about yourself and be good for yourself. And let's see what we can actually accomplish by you working on you and forget the whole thing on that side of the situation, because his issues are things that he needs to, that's his responsibility.
Yeah,
I just think we need to trust the connection between two people. You know, the connection is like a phone line. But also the things you do for yourself has a tendency to also go through that connection that you have and help that person do the same. Because realistically, the idea of dissing himself doesn't make no sense to me. And what he's doing, because he's actually said, well, you know, you shouldn't have done what you did. And then he goes back and realistically, he's not even blaming you. He's simply saying, well, I have the issues about marriage. So he's actually using what you did as an excuse to distance himself, which I feel like is what he wanted to do in the first place. But we go back to the reflection we were talking about before, what you're reflecting back at him. He knows he needs to do this. That's why he's distanced himself from you, so he won't have to see the reflection. But what's so funny about it is he's still attracting people into his life. And I'm not talking about any kind of girlfriend. Just like what I'm saying is he's still attracting people into his life to still reflect that of what he needs to do for himself. So why not go to the source? Okay, you can call him and talk to him. But realistically, when you look at a situation of a person who's dissing himself, the best thing to do is once they come forward. Which I get the impression he will.
I'm not. You've been going in and out, you know, the phone lines. But what I take from you is that is he reflecting on himself now, or is he?
Well, I get that he is back and forth on that, where he does and then he doesn't.
You said he does what?
Huh?
I didn't hear. What did you say?
No, I said that he's going back and forth. There's some days he does reflect on it, and there's other days he doesn't want to do anything.
Going back and forth. So you still see a possibility for us.
Yeah, because that's what I said before. I don't see the reason for the breakup. It's like when you look at the situation, you don't even see a breakup. You just see two people who are still together who are just not communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm. And the time frame, I'm not sure I got
What did you say?
Within 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard from him since April, when my father passed.
I still see it happening really soon. It's one of those things of telling everybody out there, stop looking at time and thinking the worst. Oh, my God. So much time has passed. Time is a perception. And realistically, when it comes to true connections, people don't forget you. And the ideal, the universe has not forgotten you. So the ideal of actually realigning things again to bring you two together, that's what you should be focusing on your intent.
Now, it seems, I don't know how to word this. Now, I've been rough 2012, actually, from the middle of 2011, and the whole of this year, it's been really, really chaotic. From family, that relationship, and my job. Can you please tell me what to look forward to in your life? Is it going to be a brighter 2013 for me? Because it's been really rough.
Yeah, I get the impression of 2013 being a really good, even a good beginning. Great year.
You said a good beginning?
Yeah. Yeah. Good, great beginning.
So it's not going to be nothing like this year.
No. Not at all. Okay?
Okay. You're right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. And please get back with us. If you ever get a chance to get a reading, please, I'd love to do a private reading for you.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. You have a fantastic night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, yeah. Where are we? Okay, let's go on to our next caller. That's area code. Okay, area code 303. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hello. I'm very good. How are you?
That's a good question.
Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're having a lovely evening. I'm in Colorado as well.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at the area code 303. I was like, I was thinking to myself, I recognize that area code before. I'm sure I've seen that before. Sure enough.
Yeah.
So, what's your first name?
It's Wendy.
Wendy, have we talked before?
No.
Okay. Whereabouts in Colorado are you?
I'm in Boulder County.
What is that? 303, Boulder, all kind of good. Yeah. I haven't made it that way yet, but...
Yeah, and I didn't realize... I was listening in much earlier, and I didn't realize that you were in Manatee Springs. I've been there. It's been a long time since I've been down that way, but absolutely love Manatee Springs, so...
Yeah, and it was like one of those things I was... I feel like I was really blessed to get the spot that I had. I actually had this spot back in 2006. And I was just like, great. And it took me a while to get back because I always tell people the reason I'm so kind of like freaked out about it because when I first came back here in March, I was told I could not have that space back because the city didn't recognize it as a retail space. And now I sit in there every day. So I always tell everybody, you know, the idea of impossibilities, once you start looking at them, what you can do, I always sit there and say these are great experiences because it changes your perception. Instead of saying what you can't do, then you start focusing on what you can do.
Absolutely.
And you start changing your life.
Yeah, no problems, only solutions, right?
Exactly, because I've had some people talk to me and say, well, you have no power in there. What are you going to do? It's like a day of solutions, man. So if I'm not doing readings, I'm focusing on how I can change things. So it's constantly, I feel like when your mind is in a constant state like that all the time, it puts you in a state of mind where you're always looking for solutions, no matter what happens in your life, which is a good state to be in. Because everybody's sitting talking about, I used to have these people who used to talk about, you know, I've been negative for 10 years, and I tried the positive thing for a couple of days, and I'm like, I know. Really, just for a couple
didn't
days,
change things overnight, huh?
Well, it's, you know, you can sit there and try to do different things, but until that perception of yours changes from being a brick wall to being a curtain, where you can actually just go simply pull the curtain back and go, okay, there it is. I think it's, you know, perception can work against you or actually be your best friend. It depends. Because we always, I heard this, I was actually reading this in a book, and it said flat out, what is your worst enemy? It's that inner voice. It can either feed into what people say, or it can actually feed in what you say, what you know about yourself. So therefore, the more you know yourself and who you are, that voice works in your favor. When you don't know yourself is when you start feeding into it, when it starts making you doubt yourself.
Yeah, and if you're not aware of it, so awareness is key. Mm-hmm. If you're aware of what your mind feed is, then you can stop the negative feed coming in constantly.
Yeah, but you gotta watch the situation too. I mean, you got people around you. But see, the one thing I noticed when you start putting yourself in a more positive state of mind, you start attracting more positive people. So therefore, you can surround yourself with positive energy and positive people with positive outcomes. So, okay, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I've been single for 15 years, and I feel like I've done lots of my homework, and I'm very, very ready to find that life partner or a partner, and I'm wondering what you see surrounding that.
Okay, so when's your birthday?
It's October 30th.
October 30th, which means you are?
Scorpio.
Okay, Scorpio. What year?
63.
Okay, 63. Okay. Mm-hmm. 30th. That's a 3. Your month. It's October, which is a 10, which is 1, 4, 1, 4. Yeah, that's crazy. I always go to the last three, actually the last two numbers is 6 and 3 is a 9. Hmm. Nines are good because they're actually kind of reflecting exactly what you're doing right now, which is one situation ending and completion, and now ready for the next level. Well, I wouldn't say level, but the next journey in your life, which is you've got a lot of realizations with your perception changing when it comes to relationships. So it makes a lot of sense of where you're at in your life, where you would want that. But there seems to be a little bit of variation in the ideal of manifesting that person. I think I could drink tons of water and still get headaches. So, you want to know what's going to happen? Do you know when? Do you want to know when? Because I have a tendency lately. People have been asking me about descriptions of people and that kind of stuff. I'm just like, doesn't really help with that thing. It actually has a tendency to work against you because, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And I did this one time before. A friend of mine told me, you're going to meet a girl with long, dark hair, green eyes, and she's going to be in the town where you're at. Okay? She's a curvy woman. You'll be very pleased with her. Okay? And she works at a coffee shop uptown. Okay, I went uptown. I think at the time we had 4 coffee shops, right? I went to all 4 coffee shops, and guess what? I found a girl with long dark hair, green eyes, curvy, with the same description as she told me. I don't know if this was like a universal joke or what. But here we are with a situation of variations. How do we figure it out, right? And when I sit here and say that there's one variation that you haven't taken consideration, is the ideal, and I'm just saying from my perception when I pick up, okay? I'm not sitting there saying, you know, I think in some sense, Lord, there's some things that have gone through your head on that perception. I'm just saying there's something about it, because I feel like the reason I feel that very clearly and very, you know, very intensely is because you're not with that person. Okay? Because in the process of manifesting the other person and manifesting the relationship and the ideal what's going on, if you had that all in alignment right now, it would be happening right now. So I get a variation and says, okay, it's going to happen soon. But the soon also determines on you, because it's the idea of I guess I'm always get the impression of asking yourself one more time, you know, are you okay with this? This is what you want. Have you made room for this situation and this person? Because it's going to be a physical manifestation of how you feel about yourself. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Because, I mean, I had a situation, too, with the girl where we did connect, and all this stuff come on, and then she kind of, like, distanced herself in denial. And I wasn't really angry about that situation, which is some of the things that she said in denial that actually hurt me. But I also had to take a look at myself, okay? Because if we look at the denial thing, we have a person who's closed off, and it's usually a hurt them. Because usually in denial, people have felt both sides of the situation. Both people have felt it. One wants to accept it, the other one doesn't. But in the process of, like I just said before, this person is a physical manifestation of me, about how I feel about myself. So there's a little insecurity. So how we correct that insecurity is looking within ourselves, not them. And maybe the idea of changing how we are actually has a tendency to send a different reflection to them. It's mm-hmm. a healing process. So that's what I was saying before. I feel like when I sit here and say soon, my soons are usually about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, variations.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hand with people saying, do not focus on the 2 weeks. It's the ideal of focusing on oneself and say, okay, that process, what he just said, is there anything I can do with myself, which has to do with spirituality, of working on your spiritual self, that could actually change the outcome and happening sooner. I think a lot of psychics have a tendency to be concrete about their answers and say, well, you know, it's going to happen in 6 months. I don't see nothing different. Of course not, because there's nothing presenting itself right now to actually give you information to even see otherwise. But I think people need to look into these situations a little bit deeper, too, because you can see past it. Because I've actually worked really hard to get past people's walls. And it's not the ideal invasion of privacy. It's the ideal of helping to understand. If I can see why they have this insecurity, why they even have the wall up, I can be discreet about it and bring it out where they can see it, too. I've worked with a lot of girls who have been sexually abused. And the reason they open up to me is because I can see it and feel it. So they have someone to identify with,
mm-hmm.
instead of a psychologist who says, I know where you're coming from, and they have no clue. They're coming from a book that tells
right.
you when someone gets raped or sexually abused, these are the things they go through. And you know something? The one thing I found the most, that it's more feeling guilty than it is traumatized, where they feel like they've done something wrong.
Right, yeah, that is definitely a
yeah, so you have a lot of psychologists
common thread.
Yeah, psychologists look at the situation. They look at the root, but they forget about the person. And these are the people I've actually worked with. We'll say it like that, okay? Not all psychologists are like that because I don't know them all. All I can do is tell you the ones I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one of those things where it's just that's what I see. I can sit you up. Let's see. I still see a 2-week variation. And also, like I said before, descriptions don't come to you. A lot of times they do. When my angels are like, oh, just give them a description, because if you don't, they're going to keep asking.
So you see a couple of weeks. You see it very, very soon, I'm assuming. That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
And obviously, like you say, it can be a variation.
I was like, if you're looking for a guy, I could be a smart ass and say, hey, cut a man in true spring. You found him right here. Come on. But, because I tell everybody, I said, don't listen to my voice when you think you're going to be coming and meeting somebody who's younger. I look good. Don't get me wrong, but like the ideal, because the reason I say that, because I've had people come to me before that I've done readings for, and they didn't really want to take me seriously because they thought I was younger than I was. They said, well, you got some great advice. You're really great, but you sound very young. And I'm like, are you serious? So therefore, I sound young. My freaking advice is sound around the mark, but you're going to question it because of my age. Do you see how age can actually be a deterrent and can actually work against you?
Oh, it can. Both directions, of course.
Yeah, I tell everybody. Yeah, I'm telling everybody right now. If you want to know how old I am, forget it. Not giving you leverage. If you go either way, we're going to play on your insecurities or what? But I've had girls say, you know, age is nothing but a number. You date them for 6 months, they get a little insecure, and they feel, oh, this is really going good. Then they got to change their own lifestyles in the process of commitment. So then they start looking for leverage. They start looking for ways out. Then they have a tendency to use the age that they said was no big deal as a leverage to do that.
Hmm.
So what you're doing is you're really helping them by not giving them that information. So they have to deal with what's going on. They have no excuses because you didn't give them any.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everything happens for a reason. I'm just saying with your situation, it's like, you look, how old are you? I'm, okay, sorry.
49. You just asked my birthday, so I'm pretty comfortable saying it on the air now.
That's tough problems, and they're going, I have no clue. You don't, because you don't sound your age, and I guarantee you don't even look your age.
No, I don't. No, people think I'm in my 30s.
Yeah, you look about 35.
Yeah.
Well, this is what you should do, dear. Forget you have a birthday. Everybody out there, if you want to sit there and reverse the aging process, stop celebrating your birthday. And girls out there, guys who forget your birthday, they might be doing you a favor. You're not looking at the positive outcome of the situation.
I keep getting younger every year, so I'm good.
It's great to do that, too, because I tell people all the time, it's like, take instead of tallying up your age, look at it as a countdown to getting younger. And when I sit here and look at your situation, you got some great things going on, that kind of stuff, and just realistically, just the whole freaking thing. There's no way of coming on to you, but it'd be great if you did come to Colorado, come to Manitou Springs, because it'd be great to sit down and actually meet somebody. I've actually talked on the radio and actually do a reading for them face-to-face. And it would be one of those things, that, like an invitation that you come down here. I wouldn't be charging anything for a reading, because I feel like a past life reading would be great for you, but it's something that should be done in person, because I can really connect with people better that way. And I've had a lot of people come into this new shop that I have. It's very small, it's like 5x6. We have a door in. That's it. And when we look at this, I've had people walk inside of it, and they're just like, "Oh, I like the energy in here." So it's one of those things that I always invite people down to experience the energy itself. And I've actually had people say this: "You seem like you're a very intuitive woman yourself."
Yeah, I do. I do healing work. I'm a spiritual midwife, so I.
Yeah, because I sit and listen to the situation and listen to you. Because the people who do energy work. Isn't it the same thing when we do readings for people, and the idea of focusing on the energy of our heart and the energy of our angels to actually get the messages and stuff? And actually, I've been really wanting to work with people more on the healing level, because I've done the psychic stuff for a long time. It's not that I don't want to give up. It's the idea I want to add more to it, and the idea of healing. So I've done healings. I just want to be more effective at it. So I like to work with other people who do the same thing, because we know when we do this kind of work, and the idea of individuality and working with certain things that we take in, read the books and that kind of stuff, we have a tendency to have a different perception. And actually, when we own it, it's actually working for us to make it more effective. So when you start working with other people who've done those kind of techniques with themselves, who've actually found ways where it works for them, you can learn from that, too, to do the same thing with yourself. Because I've done the same thing. I just have a tendency to get frustrated with people when it comes to healings because of their perception. You know, it's like, you sure this is going to work? No.
And it's not like I'm a healer. It's just facilitating and being a channel for the universal energy that is already perfect. And certainly the person is just as much a part of the process. And if they don't want to heal, certainly they're not going to. And there's nothing you can do. And some people are very closed off when they come to you, and you can't read that energy as you're, I'm sure, fully aware, especially when you get people that are recommended or somebody pays for a session for somebody. And those type of people frequently are closed off from the reading and not wanting to be there.
Mm-hmm. No, but also I had someone come to my shop and did a Reiki session for me, and she actually told me things. And she was doing the energy work, which she was around the money. Because she was sitting there doing it, she was doing energy work, and she was, when you Reiki, you're actually...
You get into the energy field, right? You
right. So she's getting into this energy field, and then she started telling me that she was getting a dark mass on my chest, where my lungs are. She said she saw a mass on the back of my neck. And then she said she saw two intersecting rivers. If you take all three of those things, you definitely have a picture of when I drowned. Because it was two intersecting rivers. When they pulled me out of the water, they had to pull me out by the hair of my head, because they had to hoist someone down because the current was so strong. They couldn't put anybody in there. And then dark mass we'd have on the lungs would be because it was a drowning accident. Which,
water, right?
Yeah. When you sit there and look at the situation, most people, when they drown, it happens more in the throat area and all kinds of stuff like that. And what happens after you die, or whatever happens, and there's sometimes water does get into the lungs, but it actually happens more in the upper area. which actually cuts off the... So you basically more... You more or less suffocate than drown. But it, but the water has something to do with the suffocation, but it's just the idea it doesn't fill your lungs up. People do have a tendency... Because we know this for a fact, because the idea of people who get fluid in their lungs don't die. They just have it pumped out.
Right.
I'm just... Well, everybody's going to go, okay, what do we need to do that for? I don't know. You're all out there listening, so therefore take it in and see what you got to do with it. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're hearing everything for whatever reason it is. I know for me, it was one of those things of clarification. Because I know one thing for a fact that was so great about that whole situation of listening to her do what she did. Because I started picking up on things which I had done before, which actually made it very clear to me that I need to go back to that period. And there was some things that I still need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess would say was my first experience, in some sense of the word, of a past life experience, but in this lifetime. Because I actually went to a friend of mine and said, okay, we do past lives, right? She goes, yeah. I said, can we do a past life? Can you go in a previous life and do the same thing? And she goes, oh, yeah, definitely. So actually, that's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so it was kind of, and why I would say that is because going back and looking at that experience, I actually realized there was still some guilt still attached to that. And when I let go of the guilt, my business increased.
Nice.
So you see how it works. So if you're out there, because I've had a lot of people telling me about I'm doing energy work and that kind of stuff, and you know, healing and that kind of stuff, but I got no clients.
Mm-hmm.
You keep saying that.
Whatever you keep manifesting, you create. Careful what you ask for, right? Because you can create.
Exactly.
We are
starting to tell everybody too. Yeah, we look at the situation and go, wow, that was crazy. Yeah, it was interesting that when you do that kind of thing, how much it does increase everything in your present life. So letting go of these past life issues, even the present lifetime too, definitely has an express. But I've told people too, it's like, you know, look at the situation. You're saying, I have no clients, but it seemed like you have a tendency to be fixated on that situation. And I've also seen people work on psychic lines. I had a girlfriend did the same thing. There's like 2,000 psychics on tonight. Okay, and your point is, thank you for counting. And she goes, what should I do? I said, you do like I do. When I go, like a random is when we have a chat, a free chat, and you can see me on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And we can converse and talk, and then you can decide if you want to do a reading. And there's a lot of people in there that do a lot of things. There's actually a couple in there that does readings. I really wanted to get with somebody, too, that I could actually do that kind of couple thing. Because I think sometimes in the process of doing couple readings, two people pick up on a same situation, but actually might pick up on pieces you didn't pick up on, and you both can put them together for a bigger picture.
Yeah,
but I was just, absolutely. The situation is you can see us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how people come in there and they talk and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But it's a good format for a lot of people to do that kind of thing. You can do healings and all kinds of stuff. But what I told her was what I would do is I would go into my chat room and imagine myself being the only person on there and everybody basically gravitating to me. Not because I'm the only person available. It's because I'm the best person available. So what you're doing is that with that visualization is you're filtering out everything else. So you're trying to, basically the clients are coming to you. The visualization and the affirmations you're using is clearing the blocks for them to make a clear decision to find you, because it's all about connections, right?
Right, clearing the path for it.
Right.
Yeah.
When you have the connections, therefore, it's easier for those things to people come to you. And it all says, flat out, guys, you know, every good thing you desire comes to you. I don't like that one concrete when people say, if it doesn't come to you, I guess it wasn't meant for you. That's too concrete for me. I look at the situation and say, if it's not coming to you right now, then it's not good for you right now. But I get the impression the more that you are good for yourself, the more likely it's going to come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this person coming in a couple of weeks, would you say that it's somebody that I don't know or somebody that I've already met?
With all the changes you've made in your life, I would definitely feel like it'd be somebody you don't know.
Okay. Okay.
You know,
yeah. All right. That sounds good.
No, I was going to say I just try to help other people understand. And the idea of making a choice for something totally different, it's not going to...
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to resemble anything where you came from. It's going to reflect who you are and where you're at. So we can look at the situation and say the past is not going to help you. It's going to work against you. Because
right.
I've seen people say, well, I met this guy, but he's not the, but I normally don't date these kind of guys. Of course. Okay, yeah, but see, the decoration you put out there was, and the intent, is I want something totally different that's going to work.
Right.
And here you are going to push this person away, not realizing you just manifested this person. So therefore, it's a slap in the face, but not to him, but to you. You're only denying yourself because this is what you manifested in this person to face the fears. And when you face fears, there's always a positive outcome. And that's what you've done this for. Because people look at me and go, I manifested this person to face my fears, so isn't he like part of my fears? No, he's a reflection of your fears. Okay, much as you're a reflection of his fears. So what are you going to do? You make a choice. You can either face them, confront them, and go through them. What happens when you go through them? You can see each other for who you are. Because the fears are making you see things that are not there, as in the reflections of past relationships. You see, I can work against you, but when you start to face the fears and realize they're just illusions, you see each other very clearly. So therefore, you can see yourselves. That way, what we always say, it's a clearing of where you can love yourself unconditionally for a change.
Nice. Yep. That sounds perfect.
Hey. I'm going to sit there and do this too. I've been sitting in my shop going, we need to contemplate and putting this book together to help people realize that if you're all looking for physical connections, they don't last because they have a physical foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of you changing day by day, that foundation changes a lot too. But see, that's limitations. But if you sit there and realize it, connecting on a spiritual level and building that foundation, what to me is like, that's what true love is.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual connection has no limitations.
Yeah.
Strongest foundations you can ever have. The physical part is just for one thing, like money. Money has been put to the center of the universe. Okay? So is sex. But this put them back in context and said, okay, what is really sex and money? They're physical manifestations of giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the physical part in a relationship is just to express what you've created spiritually as in true love. You want to argue about it? I'm ready.
No, I'm in 100% agreement. Yeah, I'm definitely ready for, I mean, obviously I've been, I think, single for a lot of reasons, and I agree with you. The physical is just a temporary and an aspect of it, but it's a sharing of everything that you are and have been and ever will be, and it's a very sacred experience that I wouldn't want to just share with anybody, and I'm looking for true love, and that's a very powerful spiritual connection at the basis of it.
So a lot of people are confused, too. You can hear it, too. People say, well, he's not acting a certain way. I said, okay, but what do you feel? Well, I feel he loves me. You see that the confusion part is the idea they're looking on the surface.
Yeah.
And they should be feeling with the connection they have. And also, I tell women, basically women, now what happens is you have to trust the idea of the connections, okay? You look at the connection. What is a connection? Now, if we all come from the same being, there's already a connection already established. And what your job is the idea of feeling the connection. Because I guarantee you when it comes to relationships, as the romantic style, the connections that you have are unmistakable. They're right there in your face. Now, some people have a tendency to get confused because, see, we all have this thing called free will. And some of us get a little ticked off of that because we know what's best for the other person because of that connection we have with each other. But they still have to come up with the realization on their own. So we have to sit there and realize at that moment, all human beings have a controlling nature of always thinking they have to be doing something. Okay, so we put in a situation realizing that what's going to happen here is we have to get back to the way it was before when we met each other. You were just being yourself, and you brought this person into your life. But see, it was just an intention. There was no physical thing that you did. You didn't call this guy or this woman 2 weeks prior and say, I'm a stranger now. You're going to meet me in 2 weeks. And you don't do that. Didn't happen. You just, as an opportunity happened, you met each other, you conversed, and you met each other for the very first time. And from that moment on, you felt a connection with that person that you never felt with anybody else. And the reason I talk about that all the time, because I experience this all the time, being an empath, you're connected with everybody. Okay? And when you feel a total connection with somebody, on a totally different level. And what's going to happen, what's going to confuse you the most, I've seen this too, you'll meet this person, and you're going, okay, I really like this person. I feel really connected to this person. And then you had to sit, then you go back and you sit there and think, but I didn't really feel physically connected to that person. Because you're not going to. Not right off the bat, because you're going to sit there and you have this prompting and this notion to get to know each other. You're going to be in a feeling of saying, I just really want to get to know this person. Because I guarantee in the process of really getting to know that person, it's like getting to know yourself.
Hmm.
Put it like this. If you don't sit there and allow yourself to have these connections and these relationships with these people, what you're doing is you're denying finding it. You're denying getting to that part about you by getting to know them. And if they don't do it, it's going to be sad because they're going to miss out on getting to know them by not getting to know you. So you sit here and look at the interconnection there. That's what the connection is all about. And the ideal situation, I've heard this before with women. I do a lot of work with women, so that's why I always use the example. Because men have a freaking fear of calling us. Anyway. So when you sit here and look, the person is asking, okay, I have a connection with this guy, nothing like I've never had before. Does he feel the same way? I'm sitting there going, are you not listening to the phone line? A connection cannot be established. It's like a power line. If that power line is not connected to both sides, you have no current.
Right. You wouldn't be feeling it.
Right. So there you are with a person you're with. You're saying, you're asking, just because they're not acting a certain way. See, we have to also realize, just because they're perfect reflections of us, doesn't mean they're not going to do it the way we would do it, because they're also an individual. They're an individual with their own essence of who they are. So you're going to see similarities between the two, but there's one thing that's going to be different. They're who they are, and so are you. So there's this individuality. But I always look at the individuality on these situations. The stronger those two people and the stronger their individuality, the stronger the relationship, which actually creates these great foundations. But those foundations don't happen unless two people have foundations within themselves.
Right.
Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, like, it's like a blueprint. No, it's not. A blueprint has never built anything. It's just instructions on how to do it. Okay? So we look at the ideal of Geminis and Tauruses. These are blueprints. Self-help books, blueprints, all this other stuff, the spirituality thing we're going through. It's not until we actually take it and put it into process. Like when you start building the house, okay? The first thing you're going to do with that blueprint is you're going to look at the idea, what do you got to do first? You got to build a foundation. But the house also represents one thing. It represents an individual. That's what it's doing. It's representing the individual, okay? So when you build that house, you know, the other person has to do the same thing. When those two people meet, they're very strong because they have very strong foundations, and they basically have their own home within themselves, which makes it easier for them to love themselves because they've built that. And all the essence within it, they've done that too as well. Of course, we look at the angels and guides and that kind of stuff. They also go along with the foundation too as well. And the ideal of, like when we build houses, have you ever seen anybody build a house by themselves? If you have, I like to see that one. Anyway, but you have a lot of help. We talk about angels, guides. Just don't forget, in my opinion anyway, we have God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, our guides, our guardian angels, our higher self, our Holy Spirit, and Jesus. So you take all those things together, that's your crew. And we build this house. So when we get into relationships, that house has to be complete, or we can't attract another one. That looks like that's actually what we want to merge with in the process of building our first skyscraper, I guess. You know, sometimes when you look at the variations and stuff, I'm just looking at two individual houses. And a lot of people have used that analogy because when you look at a house has many rooms. Each room represents a part of you. But even when you complete the house, you complete the rooms, and you furnish those rooms, over the years, your perception changes. So those rooms have a tendency to change along with your perception. I think it helps the people. It helps everybody out a lot because it's the idea of realizing the one thing I get tired of about relationships with people complaining about, that we're two individuals. Of course you are. He's a man, you're a woman. Get over it. Okay? But you don't look at those as limitations or walls you can't get over. You look at them as a reality and say, okay, that's how it is. But in life, we're always looking for these other aspects. It's kind of amazing how if we're in business, we always find a solution. to solve a problem. And if we could take the same kind of concept with relationships, instead of looking at them as something to throw away, we could have
some
areas for a lot. Huh?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, I also think that, you know, some relationships do run their course and that you just, you know, really outgrow each other and that, you know, sometimes it is best to be apart. But I also, you know, I mm-hmm. have a strong will to get along with people and can get along with people. And I think that, you know, they're generally worth, you know, working towards. And I, you know,
mm-hmm. I think relationships can have many, many, many levels. And I
think
sometimes people outgrow each other. It's because the one person has stopped learning from the reflection the other person's giving. So they stop growing and keeping up with the other one. And the other one keeps learning and keeps growing.
Yeah.
So you have a gap. But you also look at, as a relationship counselor, maybe it's just me and you, of trying to save every relationship. But I can always look at every relationship and say, okay, this is what the problem is. We just have to correct the imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people talk about soulmates and twin flames, and some people believe that soulmate relationships are just learning experiences. But actually, when you look at the situation, the truth of life, every experience that crosses your path is a learning experience.
Absolutely. You're always a teacher and always a student. You can always learn from others, even though you're teaching. I mean, you're learning at the same time.
But I think some of these people have to understand when they say something. Okay, you guys are soulmates, and this is just a short-term thing. I don't think a person on the outside can determine what's going to happen within that relationship. I think they should look at it for what's that moment, and it's up to them. Because I always feel like the two individuals in a relationship determine the success.
Absolutely, and you know what could have been temporary can be changed because, like you say, there is free will, and your trajectory can change and decide to grow together.
And you manifested the person in the first place, so therefore.
Yeah.
You know, you can determine when that's coming to a point. And I think with the situation, the people, I've always heard this too. This relationship, you start focusing on a reading for somebody. You said, this relationship, I see two people going two different directions. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, what happened? Why did we get mad at each other? And I said, who said you guys got mad at each other? It's the idea of looking at the situation. I've seen situations where people get angry, get mad, and get frustrated, and have all these fights and arguments because the realization has happened on both sides that it's time to go two different directions, but they're not willing to let go of it. So they start fighting with each other in some kind of situation to keep it going. Because like I was going to say earlier, I mean, I always sit there and state these statistics for one reason, to show people where sex belongs. Because it says in bad relationships, sex is almost like 85% of the relationship.
Hmm.
But in good relationships, it's only 25%. And people are going, that's crazy, man. I want to have a lot of sex. What? You should look at the situation, the gratification you're looking for. And maybe there's a reason you've gone through these bad relationships and why you've been divorced 7 times, because you're looking for gratification in a sexual way. Instead of actually looking for gratification and just the idea of a company or the presence or the essence of somebody, you're not looking at it. I mean, the girl I would want to really be with, and I still feel like, and that's one thing too about guidance. I tell people all the time, you got people come to you and say, well, this is what I feel about this relationship, and this is what I feel like you should do. I think we should all take a step back and look at the situation, the guidance we're getting, okay? If it's worldly or spiritual, but sometimes we get a combination of both, where you have a spiritual person that comes to you who is influenced by the world because of what they've gone through. Because I've seen people do this, okay? And what I'm saying is, we've seen relationships over and over again come together by intention. But after they have a tendency to go through a situation of a breakup and the person feels like they're going to get back together, we have other people come into the equation and say, well, what you need to do, you need to go see that person. You need to do this and do this. But if you really look at those things they're telling you about, they're basically stating that you need to have some kind of constant contact with that person. Okay? What is weird about that whole situation is, if you have a person and the reason you're separated is because they're in denial of how they really do feel about you, don't you realize by being in their face all the time, that realization keeps constant and the distance keeps building between the two, because the person's not ready to look at that whole thing. Now we can get angry and say, okay, but hey, we manifested this. Yes, but see, the point is, one person is embracing it, the other person is still questioning it. It still exists on both sides. Both people do care about each other, even love each other. But what's going on is, a person's just not ready to commit or just allow it. I was trying to say more allowance of letting it just happen, because that's what you're doing. You want it to happen. That's why you're angry. Because you're like, okay, I got my arms open. I've done the freaking work. And I said, open to receive. Okay, I opened to receive. And I was sitting here, okay, great. You've done the work. And the other person is kind of like, hmm. But I feel like in these situations, if you have, you see, you have the connection with the person. Everybody on the outside does not. They're just reading it. But a lot of people have a tendency to use worldly perceptions to read it. Because I had a girl do that to me one time. She was like, well, I can hear what she's saying, and what she's saying is she's basically saying goodbye to you. But really, I'm not finished reading yet. Okay, the part that she said, you know, I wish you the best. She goes, what happened? She goes, okay, what did she say next? Then she said, I look forward to seeing you when you come by the store. And you're sitting there going, okay, I'm confused. And I said, then she goes on later when she doesn't really explain anything, where she's like basically dictating her life and saying, okay, this is what's going on. I'm a person that does this. I'm a single parent, all this other stuff. And you're going, and I told my friend, I said, look at all the excuses. And she's like, well, how can you see these excuses? Because I've interacted with that person, and we've already discussed those things. I already know those things about her. And now she's using those as an excuse. And we all know for a fact, hopefully we do, that excuses are nothing but things that people create to keep them from where they really want to be. Mm-hmm. Because fear of what could be. Which is kind of funny, too, because you read their minds, the fear is based on the possibility of actually having something real. What's the thought? So do my job and go, okay, that's kind of confusing. But then we have a situation at the end of the letter where it makes it even more confusing when it says, but this is as far as this can go. And you're like, okay, hold up. What is this? So we have to rely on our connection with the person itself to realize that maybe we do know the answers and we are not listening to ourselves in the process of trying to figure the person out. It's not the idea of figuring the person out. It's the idea of realizing how all this is reflecting back at you about what you do know. Because I had a person tell me, she goes, you should have told this person that she was a liar and that she was lying to herself, because that hurt her. And I said, don't you people ever take in consideration that the reason that was said is because of something that was said to us that made, that hurt us? You always sit there and say, well, you shouldn't do that to the people. Don't people realize one thing? How can these people have realizations that you're going to keep lying to them? Because that's what they're doing to you. In the pace of denial, they're wearing a mask. And the idea of wearing a mask, they're presenting to you something that's not real. It's a lie. So therefore, all they can do with that kind of perception that they're giving you is to lie to you too. So all you're doing is fact. You're not being vindictive. You're coming back and saying, well, you're trying to portray to me that this is what's going on. And I'm sorry. I always tell people, I don't sit and tell people that I'm looking through you. You might perceive it that I'm looking through you, but what I'm doing is I'm a person who's able to see through the mask to see who you really are. And what I'm trying to convey to you is what I see is who I love, because I can really see who you truly are. Now it's just, what can we do to actually help them see themselves is to be true to ourselves so they can see that reflection reflecting back at them, to use the example to do the same.
Right, yeah. If we're authentic, people usually meet you in the same vibration that you're putting out.
Yeah, so my friend says you need to focus on your spirituality and your career. And you know why? Because that's where I feel the most happiest. That's where my vibration is highest. So therefore, this woman was very intrigued by me because of what I do and how well I do it. So therefore, it makes perfect sense. How would you attract this person to you? And a lot of times, that's what you need to do. You need to just allow things to happen and realize there's nothing that you can do, because you've already said and told them more likely how you feel and everything in the depth and everything else that goes along with it. And even remembering certain things that did happen where the person did acknowledge that to you. Even the idea of you have a person who denounces you and says, well, we wasn't true friends. And then you start thinking, go, hold up. We used to give hugs, and then we used to sit there and hug each other 3 or 4 times. And then we used to do this, and then you start thinking, okay, hold up, I see what it is. It's just a realization that I can see it truly for what it is, and this person's just denouncing it because they're not willing or allowing themselves to do so. So we have to stick to our guns and say, okay, I know what it was. And that's why I said, my friend says, she goes, you wrote the nicest emails I've ever seen anybody write. I said, yeah, but the reason they're so good It's because of the truth. And the ones that we get ourselves from them are confusing because the person who wrote them is more like in a situation of confusion. I'm not admitting it's how they feel. So that was the assessment for today. Anyway, I'm saying, well, my thing is when you get in these situations, when you get relationships that come together and these great connections, and I feel like with your situation, you got a great connection coming and the idea of a good long-distance relationship. But I also feel like the person you're going to be attracting in some sense of the word, because there's a little bit of insecurity with yourself, that you might actually confront that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of knowing that up front and seeing this person, because I, you know, there's, I think there was certain things that I saw too, that if I would have paid attention to them, or maybe even the ideal of maybe a little bit of distance to give somebody some freedom so other things could take place. Because a lot of times people have a tendency to use their work, their lives, to keep themselves in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what works against you is you come into that equation and you're something totally different. But they've basically been in a situation, and I guess it's my key word, private lives. When it's not really a private life, they keep it private because they don't want anybody to come into it to disrupt until they're ready.
Right.
So that's what I say. That's why I always have a tendency to not look through people, but look past their mask and say, you know, something, are you kind of tired of doing this all the time? And then, you know, it's like wearing a mask for people because you're scared of them seeing who you are. When I've already seen you for who you are, and that's a great person, so why would you want to hide that? It's just an insecurity, you know? And I sit there and look at the situation here where you could have some variations that some things could happen to you. But I think they could also be confronted before anything else would happen, because you get it as a great relationship, and it's like one of those things where you just got to find ways to not convey it to them, but it's more of a visual. Because we can say things until doomsday, and when they go in that denial state, when you say things, they have a tendency to go, well, I don't want to hear it. I heard a person said, you're being a little too pushy. I said, well, why don't you stop standing still? But the thing is, like you try to teach people to do, is when you have a little thing within yourself that has a voice that needs to be said, you'll be amazed that when you say those things, the conversations that happen afterwards, when you're thinking, they would run away. When it's just the idea of looking for some kind of security that they can hear a key word and says, hey, I'm not saying with everything. A lot of times it's just the idea of allowance. And I think in my situation, that's what I feel, where it's one of those situations where people keep saying, well, you need to know all this stuff. And then also I get this freaking notion of me. It says, my guides keep saying, if a person is using their work as protection, the only way a relationship can progress forward is for that person to come out at security. And what you need to do is you've already established a relationship that they're denying, so it does exist, which can actually use that can actually work in your favor of what we call missing people. What's that silence? Oh, he doesn't come by anymore. Where's he at? He has his own job. So it's those situations, right?
Uh-huh.
That there's things in our lives. Everything is a key point. And the right. more we honest with ourselves, the more we live our life purpose. If this person is truly my life partner, by living my life purpose, wouldn't it be a magnet to draw that person to me?
Yeah, I would think so. Yes, indeed. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
Yeah, done hiding or trying to be something that I'm not, and yeah, definitely want to be comfortable with exactly who I am. With
Have you ever heard me say this? We'll listen to a radio show today. And the lady there was a lady on the radio show, and she was talking about she didn't want to be with somebody who does the same thing she does. She felt like it would be a boring relationship.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds like I would love somebody to be, like, doing the same thing because it would, to me, it would just be an enhancement. And, I mean, I guess I kind of want it all. I would love somebody that was completely spiritually compatible, and if we were doing the same career, could write books together, for example, or do workshops together, travel together. To me, that's like... I'd be in heaven.
The reason I asked you to come down here because it's the idea. I'm writing this book on relationships. Yeah, I think there'd be a good section in that book where we could I'm just saying the idea of throwing some ideals out where in the process of relationships, there should be a chapter on healing.
I just finished a book on the art of spiritual parenting, a guidebook.
And how's that going for you?
I just finished it. I kind of like I'm doing things backwards. I didn't even have a website up and wrote the book, and now I'm going to start, doing some workshops and promoting it. But it feels like I'm, shifting gears a little bit. I mean, I still love the healing work, but it's just like, everybody's got this inner child that is injured, and we're moving into a new phase of living where it's a very energetic, compassionate world, and raising kids, to really embrace who they are. Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you sit there and talk about the inner child, and people say they have a wounded inner child, isn't it also like an illusion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all illusion, but I mean, that's, when we're talking about healing, or you were talking about past lives, I mean, it's all mm-hmm. here right now. You don't need to go anywhere to heal anything. Mm-hmm. And the same with that inner child. It's just that, if as a child you were treated badly and told you were stupid over and over again, it becomes a belief or a habit that's ingrained in your thought process that can be healed mm-hmm. right here and right now. You don't have to go anywhere, but it's that, when I talk about spiritual parenting, I talk about, it makes people think of a child, and we're all that. We're the child, we're the adult, we're the old person, mm-hmm. we're all of that wrapped into one person, and we're also all these past lives. It's all right here, right now.
That's what I would guess. Because I was sitting there talking about the situation when I was telling a friend of mine. I said, it's the idea of looking behind someone's eyes and actually seeing that child who wants to come out when people are wearing masks. And people are like saying, okay, but is that possible for everybody? And I said, well, yeah.
It's
the idea.
I see it in their eyes.
But most of you guys are intimidated when someone says, you see right through me. So you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm sorry. When you're actually just doing something that's normal for people to see that significant other as who they really are.
Yeah.
So the idea of being strong with what you say and say, yes, but I'm not seeing through you. I'm seeing you.
Seeing you, who you actually are, yes.
I actually told someone that. I was there going, you manifested me and I manifested you. And I said, I'm not seeing through you. I'm just seeing who you are. So you can wear the mask all you want, but I see you and I always have. Now, in that statement, it also shows, when I use past life readings to help people who have phobias in this lifetime to trace it back, because sometimes it's not in this lifetime. So you trace it back to a past life. That's what we do. We sit there and go, okay, we'll focus on something. Okay, so you're claustrophobic. Let's focus on that. And then we do a nice little session where we say, okay, angels, take them back to that time and help them to confront that, so they realize that past life doesn't exist anymore, that they're here now, so therefore they can realize this thing they're hanging on to also has no basis to it either, so they can let go of it. It's amazing how people have changed. Oh, yeah, I was sitting talking about that one where you had a lady come up. It was a girl. She was like 8 years old, and they couldn't figure out why she was claustrophobic. It was an accident. They sit there and they were trying to progress her back in this lifetime to find out why she has a phobia of being claustrophobic. And what happened was they asked her, okay, we want you to go back to when you got this phobia, which took her back to like 1872 when she was buried alive in a coffin. And as soon as she confronted that and realized where it came from, she's not claustrophobic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, we use it as therapy.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of people have fun with it, too. And the more they have fun with it, the more they open up, the more they realize, oh, this is kind of crazy. This is ridiculous to hang on to this thing. Since that lifetime is no longer over, I'm dead, moved on, now I have a new one. And they was also doing some research on the whole thing, too, saying that our brains are, as they've gotten bigger over the eons. And it's kind of funny how why they've gotten bigger is also most of it, almost all of it's detailed memory. So it was like looking at the situation and realizing in some ways maybe we're taking memories from lifetime to lifetime. That the body's actually made the brain bigger so they could actually accumulate it. I was like, whoa.
Interesting.
I don't want to do this anymore. And I sit there and say, okay, what do you want to do? You want to get rid of it? Okay, great. And then you can actually take some nice memories and put it in the space you just got rid of.
Yep.
No, I was just saying, you could come on. It'd be great to have you on the show a couple of times, and you can come on as a guest, or you can come on and help us with the show sometime. I just feel like some of the insights that you have would be beneficial to people. So if you'd like to do that.
I would love that.
So I was just, and plus we've been trying to get people to come to the shop to also share with people about healing in the process, because we have a lot of people that claim the healing thing, and just all the things that go around it. And then when you get into the situation. And I'm not saying they're not real. I actually met some lady not too long ago, she was really good. I walked away from that healing session myself, and I usually don't get healings unless I really trust you. And I met this lady, and she did this thing where I kind of looked at the whole thing going, I feel a whole lot lighter walking away from this situation. So that was a good experience.
Yeah.
But some people, but I had one lady that I did with, and she seemed very, very legit, very spiritual. But she was talking about carrying a spiritual child that was going to be born, and then she was looking at me going, and don't you? And then she said to her and said, don't you feel it and see it yourself? She was about the most slenderest woman, very gorgeous woman, but very slender. But she said she's carrying this energy baby, and it was going to be bringing in a new millennium, a new phase into world consciousness. And I was doing my readings, and the first card that came up was deception. and then she started talking about she needed to align my chakras because my chakras were so out of line. They wasn't even, there was a couple of them wasn't even inside my body. Now, all the research I've ever done, that's an impossibility.
Yeah, I don't let people work with me very often either, so I totally get it. And there's a lot of people out there that are very deceptive or just maybe plain crazy. I don't know what it is, but
I would
love to come to your shop, and I will definitely put that in the near future.
But you're more welcome to come on the show as a guest anytime. I have a lot of people like to back. And I always tell people we have a 3-hour show. You're not required to stay for 3 hours. It's just one of those things of coming in, and I always tell people, you know, you get a notion. I've done this myself, and I tell people. Sometimes we've done readings for 40 minutes, and people are like, well, that's kind of long. Well, that's too long. And I'm sitting going, that's your perception. I feel like a reading takes as long as it needs to take.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do on the show, is the idea of showing people how readings can be, because with me, I've seen situations and how readings go for people. And what I wanted to do was present it on the show, to show people that when you come get a reading with me, okay, you might book a 45-minute session. It might take longer than 45 minutes. And when it comes to work, the work's more important than asking somebody for an extra dollar. Because what I've always found in situations of really being genuine and honestly working with people, they have a tendency to be the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've always gotten compensated. I've actually done readings with people come on my when we used to have another shop up here, and a guy came and goes, you know, I just don't think you're worth that kind of money. Okay, well, I believe in what I do. So sit down, let's do a reading, and you tell me how much you think it's worth after. And the guy goes, really? I said, yeah, I have that much confidence in what I do.
I do the same thing for my energy work as well as,
So the guy goes, how much do you usually charge? It's $25. So we do this reading, right? The guy gives me $40.
Sweet.
So I'm just, to me, I tell people that's a good example to everybody.
Absolutely. Okay?
To help you understand one thing. That when I say, if you just do this, do a service, and basically put yourself in a state of what can I do for you, how can I help you, you know, people have a tendency to be very appreciative, and they'll give you, and they'll compensate you. But that's what we always say, that if you just do the work, money will drop in your lap. Mm-hmm. And I've had it happen too many times where I've just done the reading. There was one night I did a reading for a lady. It was just a palm reading. I just said, why don't you come and do a palm reading? So I've been here since 6. Nothing's really happened. You can help me out. And she's like, how can I help you out? I said, you can give me time to practice what I love to do. And the process of me practicing, you get a palm reading. Now, she comes in, and we do the palm reading, and she was kind of floored. And then her uncle came in, and her mother came in, and they sit down. And her uncle was so impressed, right? He paid for hers. He got one, and his sister got one. So what I gave away for free turned out to be $65.
Right.
And I never asked for anything.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. That's definitely a wonderful example of energy in motion, right, where you're just putting out and getting back because when you're giving, you're receiving. So it's a beautiful dynamic and definitely shows your integrity as well. Well, I thank you very much, and I will email you and get in touch. I would love to, as I say, come down to see your show.
Yeah, I didn't want to keep you as long as I did, but thank you for...
Yeah, thank you for your presence and being with me, and I would love to connect again very soon.
All righty. Thank you.
All right, have a wonderful evening and a great rest of your weekend. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, guys. Let's see here. I'm going to sit here and talk to 561. 562. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Did you want to come on the show?
Well, I was, but just towards the end of the show. I just wanted to jump in, and you always give such great advice. It's just incredible. I'm always, just every time I get a chance to just listen to you, it's just you just spark so much common sense on stuff that is just like mind-boggling. And I do take a lot of your advice. I've learned so much since I've been listening to you.
Let me ask you a question. Who are you? Because you didn't give me your
name. Callie. From California. We've spoken before, but actually, when we talked, it's been a while. It's been at least 4 months or so. But I just go and listen to your archives and stuff.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I try to get to everybody on the show. I really do.
And I usually used to be 5 o'clock in the afternoon during the days. And then today I kind of just looked to see who was on. So, I was surprised you were on. I was very happy.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm sitting here looking at the situation and say, okay, I'm sorry, guys. And what I did was I have a shop now in Colorado and Manitou Springs. So, therefore, I work there from noon until 6. So, I used to have the show at 6. So, I had to move the show back so I could actually compensate the thing on the weekends. And then, because what happens is the shop is busy on the weekends. And usually I do my best shows on Fridays and Saturdays, too. So, I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? And a long time ago, we used to do this thing called the Midnight Roundtable. And I really wanted to do that again because it's kind of funny how the Midnight Roundtable was actually even more popular than my earlier shows. But it got kind of out of hand. Yeah, it got out of hand. Yeah, it got out of hand because I was doing my show on Fridays, and I'd do my midnight show on Friday night, and then I'd do another show on Saturday, and I'd do a midnight show on Saturday night. Which what happens was I was on the air for 6 hours each day.
That's way too much.
Yeah, so I was
exhausted. And then were you doing 3 hours?
Yes, we were doing 3 hour shows.
Oh my God.
And then we were actually at one time we were doing 6 shows a week.
Wow.
And then we would do the Fridays and the Saturdays on the midnight shows and the daytime show. We're like, okay. So we got to the point where that's all I was doing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love doing the shows and I like doing this. And I've had a lot of people compliment me on other websites that I actually work on saying, hey, man, it's really nice that you actually just do a show where you just do readings for everybody and don't charge anything. And I actually pay, we pay for these shows.
Yeah, you sure do.
So,
you're amazing. Well, you're amazing.
No, we totally
appreciate it. No, I don't think not many people tell you. Often enough, I don't think. I'm sure they tell you, but it's just not often enough anyways. And you're very much loved and appreciated. And I'm so glad you got your shop now and everything's doing good for you. That's great. Are you still with the same girl?
Which one?
Last time we talked, you had just met a girl. You were really, like I said, it was maybe about 3-4 months ago. And
can you remember what her name was?
I really liked her. I remember you were talking about her. So, are you still with the same girl?
Well, it's actually...
Or have you moved on?
Well, it was April. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no.
What happened?
She came out here to live for about 2.5 weeks and then decided she wanted to go back home.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those crazy things when you look at people and go, okay, this is really nutsy. For somebody to actually have a situation where it's like, people sitting there going, it's amazing when people talk. And I always sit there and look, and maybe it's just me because of what I do for a living, to look at people and go, okay, here's all these excuses you keep giving me. And I know for a fact that when people start giving excuses is based on, I'm scared of going there. So I make excuses why not to go there.
Sure.
So I was sort of looking at the situation, and I was like appalled because she came out here and she asked me to help her become a professional psychic, and she wanted to be a working professional psychic. Next day she was working for 3 websites. She was working on my show. I think you heard of my show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she came on my show and she was working on the show. And things were going really good. And she came out here and then we got into an argument one night. And she said, we argued for about 1.5 days. But it was the idea of all the things that she already had in place. She started complaining about, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money. And I said, well, if you do the work, you'll have more than enough money. I tried to sit there and talk to her and say, hey, you know something? You're looking at a potential at least $2,500 a month for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's no pressure. I said, you're living with me. This girl came to live with me. she just basically took, she unpacked all of her stuff, put it on all the windows, made herself very comfortable.
Uh-huh.
I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I know women very well. When they start walking around your house naked, they're pretty comfortable.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, she said, and then when we were sitting here, all of a sudden she decided she wanted to go, she wanted to leave, because she said, well, we argued. Okay, what's your point?
Over so one argument? Are you serious?
Yeah, she said, well, we argued all freaking day. I said, we are. And she goes, I can't believe that you argued with me because I wouldn't work. I said, okay, well, did you? She's like, no. So,
mm-hmm.
What are you getting mad at me for? Because I was just sitting here trying to figure out. Maybe I was being pushy, but as a psychic and seeing what I could see, I couldn't understand why you wouldn't want to use that as a goal to reach, because it was very reachable. And then she sat here and flip-flopped back and forth about the whole thing, even to the point where she was even telling herself out loud, I don't want to go. I really don't want to go. I really want to stay here. So she did three card readings with my freaking angel tarot cards, which because she liked these cards, because she said they were so accurate. And she did, and it was kind of funny, too. You see these things that go on with people?
Mm-hmm.
She likes the cards. She says these cards are very accurate, and I want to do a reading with these so they can tell me what to do. And did she listen to them? No. She said, all the cards are saying I should leave. I'm like, how do you get an interpretation out of a card that says happy outcomes and you need to face your fears?
Hey, she's not very psychic, is she?
Well, yeah, we're talking about that denial thing, right?
Oh, my God, that is beyond denial. Jesus.
Yeah, so she's doing this three. She did three readings. And I said, well, if you have to do more than two, you're not listening when the message was very clear. Because I was sitting there looking at the one. I'm trying to find that card, too, to give you an idea of exactly what it said. But it was like talking about facing fears. It said happy. Because she basically said, should I stay?
That was the question she put out there.
Yeah, it's like saying, should I stay? Should I stay? Should I stay? You know? And then the card came up and said, trying to find that one. Here it is. Happy outcome. Bring a new ideal that leads to success. Have confidence in yourself.
Wow.
Okay, and then what was the other one? Lavish abundance. Give birth to your dreams. And she's like, I should go home. Like,
oh, okay, my God.
Yeah. Important insights. Vince. It's like release fears that hold you back. Because it was like, if you look at the situation, we had an argument about her not working. It was an insecurity about working. I think it was an insecurity about being successful, where she's trying to keep herself in a situation because she doesn't feel like she's worthy of all that. So you,
that's
true. Because I noticed that when she came out here, my friend said, well, it's because she was connected to you that she had a worth. She felt worthy, and she felt she had a lot of worth in herself. I said, I understand that, too, but to have that kind of perception, even with the idea of me being a part of her life that made her feel that confidence, it was still within herself, or she couldn't have done that.
Yeah, there's not much you can do sometimes. You can love a person and be there for them, but if they don't have that self-confidence and they can't find it within them, that they're bound to, you know, make those mistakes to learn. I mean, that's just bottom line. Some people, they like to learn the hard way.
Well, I just had this conversation with a lady because of somebody else I met. And it was kind of funny. The girl I was really involved with here recently was somebody I actually met before April that I had a very strong connection with. And the connection was so strong, I actually told her in 5 minutes after meeting her.
Wow.
So we have a great connection. And do you have a husband? And she's like, no. And I said, I kind of went, okay, here's a question I hate to ask. Do you have a boyfriend? And she was like, yeah. I said, wow, you didn't sound too happy about that. She goes, oh, I'm happy about it. I said, really? You want to think about happiness? And she goes, yeah. She just kind of looked at me and I said, you should think about this. And she kind of looked at me and smiled, and she kind of made a little distant thing. But see, when April came out here, I took her to the same store, and I actually introduced April to my friend. And I was sitting there talking to my friend, and now here I am supposed to be with somebody else, right? I could still the connection between me and the other person. Just as So I was sitting there going, I was sitting there thinking about puzzle going, I can still feel the connection between me and her. I feel really connected with that person. And also I started getting some things too, visions of at least four past lives that we had together too as well, just that quick. No freaking hesitation about it at all. And then, I would say since it was like in September.
So basically, you know, April did you a favor by leaving in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you found this other person that, but then whatever happened, that you like, did she ever leave her boyfriend, or are you guys in the middle of that situation, or?
Like a middle of the situation, because I was like, now see what happened was, she got into a situation because I just got, let's see, it was not too long ago, I got a last email back from her, and she was actually talking, because I told her that I was really hurt because she was in another relationship, which was a matter of weeks that she got into this other relationship, and I was like, I don't feel like there's, and even when I used to talk to her, because after March, I met her in March, and I used to go there from time to time and talk to her, and I just felt really connected to her, and I said, I remember one time when after me and April broke up, I said, I looked at her and said, you know, it's kind of funny that a person will sit here and say they like you, care about you, and all this other stuff. They don't want to leave, and then they do.
Mm-hmm.
Baffles me. And I remember coming back in that store because I was so irritated about the whole thing. I just looked at Amy and said, hey, you want to go out to the Bahamas? Let's just go. Let's just do it, you know? And she's like,
mm-hmm.
She kind of looked at me going, yeah, let's just go. Yeah, I want to go too. You got any money?
Yeah. Sometimes you've gotten, you know, you just got to let it go, you know?
Well, she started flirting with me because I went back in the store and me and her downstairs talking one day. And I was, like, talking and doing a little thing. And then she, all of a sudden she came out and she said, well, you're always saying too bad I have a boyfriend. I was like, okay, first of all, I'm kind of caught off a little bit saying, okay, you remembered that. Because I haven't said
mm-hmm.
that before. I mean, I've said it a couple times in the last, because we're talking from March. And then it was either at the end of August and around August and September that that's when that happened. And I'm sitting going, hold up. She's rubbing up against my arm, too, saying, too bad. You're always saying it's too bad I have a boyfriend. I said, well, yeah, too bad you got a boyfriend. She goes, well, you know. But she never really confirmed it. And then she kind of like, then she started doing the flirting thing. I said, well, okay, fine. Let's go out for coffee. And she goes, okay, just as long as you respect my situation. I was like, I'm tired of people being vague. So I said,
my situation, gee.
I said, yes, I can respect your situation. Just go out for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay. She said, she goes, let me rearrange my scheduling and stuff like that. We'll do that. So when I got this last email of her saying, and then what happened was I started to leave that day, right? As I'm getting ready to leave, she's upstairs, and I come upstairs. And she looks at me. She goes, kind of motioning for me. And then she said, give me a hug. I said, okay, I've known Amy since March. I don't remember her saying, give me a hug.
Huh.
Okay, so we had that one going on. Actually, we actually hugged each other that time twice. And then it was one time I came in the store after that. I came in the store and she goes, so what brings you into the store? I said, you. Now, all this stuff was.
That was blunt.
Right. Well, I mean, have
to
I
To
the
point, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, you've heard me on the show, so I'm not exactly a person who's shy about speaking my mind.
Not at all.
So it's like, that's how I feel. So we had all this stuff going on, and we were hugging, you know, these hugs were like either she'd instigated or I'd instigated. And then I remember before things started going south, I guess, where she got distant, was all this stuff was going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was actually one weekend, actually went on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was, and we actually sit outside on a Sunday and sit here and talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was a notion where she says that she doesn't take friendships. She usually doesn't have friendships that she makes in the store outside the store. And my friend said, well, she went outside and sat on the front porch with you. She took it out of the store. So that's a contradiction. And she said that she keeps saying she's a very private person. But every time you ask her something, she tells you. That's a contradiction. Private people don't do that. They're very guarded. And she said, you know, you sit there and I've sent her emails. You send an email to her saying, these are my intentions. You go down, and then when she responds to it, you go down the same day and confront her, and all she can say to you is, it's good that someone sees me that way. But this is as far as this can go. But she never declares what this is. But my friend said, it doesn't matter. She did say, this is as far as this goes. So it is something. And she said she'd enjoy getting to know you. She says, thank you for your kind words. But she's so vague about everything. She says, I just feel like she doesn't want to go there. Because if she does, then she has to confront her feelings. Yeah, we all know that.
Talk about somebody who's really got her guards up, you know?
Yeah, but see, I walked in there and I sent her the email, right? I saw her sitting in front of the computer in her office. And I said, can I ask you something? She goes, yeah. I'm sitting there going, hold up. here's a guarded, here's a person who's very private, so be guarded, right? Her actions,
uh-huh.
actions and her words are like a contradiction. They can drive you. So I was sitting there looking at the situation going, okay, I started thinking about it, okay? So the hugs, us interacting, before I found she went, before I found out, because I remember the last Friday I talked to her before she got distant on a Monday, was on that Friday I did a palm reading for her, and we really interacted. I actually noticed she was wearing a green top, and I said, ooh, green, I love green, and she's like, green's my favorite color, and she's kind of like a little distant on that one. She goes, me too, where she's kind of like, there's things that are happening, right? That she started to notice the connection between us. Where I think it's more, I think it was that the connection's already been established. I think there was just a lot of variations to prove it, that she started noticing. And I also noticed that she was noticing me, because there was one time I did a reading. I do readings everywhere I go. So if I see somebody who needs information, I give it to them. So I was downstairs.
Right there and there?
Yeah.
Like
so
right there in front of everybody.
So there was a shop. So I'm down there where she works at. And there was this lady. It was this lady talking about her ex-husband getting married. I said, oh, don't worry about him. He's going to get what he deserves, because he's marrying marrying the girl who's going to give him back the karma. And I'm sitting there talking to them. I talked to the daughter and everything else. And then I come upstairs to pay for my stuff to leave, and Amy looks at me and goes, you can't keep from helping. You just can't keep from helping people, can you? And I'm like, first of all, I'm kind of like a little shocked, because I said, ooh, hold up. Observations happen over, I guess when you sit and look at those kind of things, it's like people are in their head remembering things of observation. Yeah. And people, to me, it's like, why would you have these things that you're hanging on to that is connected to us, or there was an interest? I mean, there was a lot of things that said she really wanted to get to know me. Like, she actually told me. I was sitting talking to her about, you know, she hasn't given me her phone number. So I said, great, you know, but call me, and this, you know, I really want to get to know you. And she said, I would like that.
Okay.
I've been taught that girls usually say that because they're interested in you. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I started noticing was, is the idea as we go up to this thing, right, that when we get to the Friday, when I'm doing readings for her, I just came downstairs. I saw her, and I just had my hand out, and nothing was, no one, at that time, no one really pumped at each other. I just came down and gave her a hug without even thinking about it. We actually hugged each other about 2-3 times, and then I noticed that when she pulled away from me, she still had her hands on my hip, and I had my hands on her hips. I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, but I've never done this with friends.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
That's a little intimate with me. That actually happened twice that I noticed. The first time it happened, it was her having her hands on my hips, and I was just like kind of caught up in the moment going, whoa. And that, like I was telling you about before, about that Sunday when we were outside talking on the bench, I noticed that she got up and said, I got to go back to work. Okay, we talked about some things, and then we hugged each other about 2 or 3 times. It was really, to me, it just seemed like it was intimate, you know? And intimacy to me is just the idea of opening up to each other. It has nothing to do with
physical. That's what it is.
And the hugs, I mean, I told a friend of mine, I said, this is how she hugs me. If I can put my head on your shoulders, that's an embrace. So I sit there and notice she gave a hug, and then she started to walk back in the store. All of a sudden, she turns around and comes back up to me, puts her hand behind my back, and puts her head on my shoulder with her head down. I was kind of like so taken by it, going, what do I do? You know, like, I didn't expect it, because she was already going to the store. But she gives me that. I mean, she all of a sudden, I don't know if she's one of those things where she came to her senses and go, okay, I got to go back to work. But she actually liked that. I liked it, too. I put my hands on her hip, and she was like, I got to go back in the store. Okay.
How funny.
So she looked at me, and she's like, back in the store, and all I have to do is go back in here. I said, what? She goes, I'm teasing you. Oh, I got it. You're teasing me. And she goes, you got to walk home. Oh, yeah, I got it. I'm still kind of taken by the whole thing, because I didn't expect that. My friend says, what'd you do? I didn't know. It's like, I started to put my hand on her hip, and then, you know, I was going, I mean, it's like, I want to embrace you too. But But it just threw me off, so I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay. So I remember calling her back. It's amazing when you have this freaking synchronicity with people, and then they have a tendency to try to...
It's crazy. Like, it's magnet almost, you know?
Yeah, because I used to tell my friend, I said, every time I used to go to the store to go see her, it seemed like I'd always have a... I'd either get a reading or money would always come at the right time, or I could go down the store where... It wasn't just the idea of going in the store. I actually could go to the store and get things I want. So it was kind of funny that always happened. Or if I get on the bus, if I want to go down there, whatever it was, everything just kind of fell into place. Okay, so I was like, okay, so we have this final thing, all right? Come up to the Friday. I do the palm reading for her. Things are going good. I think I found you on Facebook. And she goes, oh, yeah, you did. I already accepted your friendship. Oh, you did? Okay, now, think about all the things I just told you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
She was acting. This is our interactions, put that way. Okay, I go home, and I see that she has accepted my friendship.
She did or she did not?
She did.
Oh, she did, okay.
At the same time, it also said, Amy so-and-so and me have become friends, and right underneath that, it says, Amy has changed her status to relationship from being in a relationship to being single.
Oh, but, really?
Telling you, all the other stuff happened before that was posted on Facebook, and I was sitting there going, okay. So I looked at the situation, connections, that kind of stuff, right? So then I, on the Saturday, I sent an email to her because she was working this metaphysical fair and stuff. So she was busy, so I sent her an email because I was watching like a romantic movie, so it kind of like put me in a situation.
Yeah.
So I wrote to her and said, these are my intentions. This is what I like. I feel I like the connection. I like this whole thing because I just feel like I know you. And I'm actually really looking forward to getting to know you, the person I think I already know. And basically, I would like to have a girlfriend. But like I said, I told everybody else, I was just, this is my intentions. And I said, all you have to do is nothing but be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ask you to do anything. It's not the idea of acknowledgement or anything. It's just the idea of saying, this is what I would like. I would like for you to be my girlfriend. Relationship, connections, it's good. Don't let my words scare you away. Just let my words resonate to you that I am being honest with you. But she... So I didn't talk to her the weekend. I wanted to go to the metaphysical fair and see her, too. Because she even asked me about it. She's like, you're going to go to the fair? And I said, why should I? That's what I said. And she said, well, I'm going to be out there on Saturday and Sunday from this time to this time. Now, she never invited me out. She just said, are you going to go? And I'll be out there this time. Come on, let's get real. Anyway.
I'll meet you over there.
But it was cold on a Saturday, very cold. I think it was like 20 or 30 degrees, and I was just like, and I had a lot of work to do. And I was trying to do my work and try to get things done. I'm actually trying to write a book, too, which is a little bit harder than I thought it was going to be. So I was going over the whole thing, right? Okay, so we're talking about all this stuff happened on a Friday, and then she went changed the status. Then on Monday, I went in to see her, and she's like talking, but she's very distant. She doesn't even talk about the email. Acknowledge the email. And I was trying to talk to her. I thought since she didn't acknowledge it, then I just kind of like was still doing what I was doing. And I was like, gosh, she's being distant. She won't even look at me. And before that, she never had no problem eye contact either. Because I remember when I did the palm reading for her, I keep getting the impression she was actually focusing on me than she was her palm. And most people, when you do palm readings, when they focus on the palm, they don't focus on you.
So did she ever respond to the email or no?
Because I know. Because I certainly told her, okay? I'm sitting here going, you're really staring at me. You're really focused on me. And it's really making me feel uncomfortable. And she's like, really? I said, yeah, but don't stop. You know?
You're so funny.
I'm doing the palm reading. I even told her, I said, maybe I'm being very detailed. Maybe it's just an excuse to hang onto your hand. I like holding your hand. And then I sit here and said, do you think it's a secret that I really like you a lot? And she said, not at all. Now, don't you think This is before I sent the email. This was on a Friday when I did the palm reading and stuff. And we were talking, interacting, and that kind of stuff. And don't you think it's like a doorway to open up to say, I don't feel the same way? That's
exactly
flattering.
I'm sorry. Yeah, like it's cute. I'm flattered. That's what I would have said. I'm flattered, but you know, I'm really not ready for it, or I don't feel the same way, or that's, you know,
so,
if she wasn't interested, that's what she, that would have been the open opportunity to say so.
And also, but
what did she
also
say though? Now you got
me
hooked. What did she say after you said that?
She just smiled and laughed. She said, "No, it's not a secret at all."
What?
Okay. Nothing. She said, "No, it's not a secret." And she's kind of laughing and smiling. She's smiling like crazy. And then I'm sitting here talking about, and I said, I was looking over there, I'm looking at the area where you can see relationships, right? And
uh-huh.
I kept going, And she, I said, I bet you're wondering why I keep going over this area here and going, She goes, yes, I am. I said, well, this is where we see relationships. So I'm like, I don't want to go there just yet. So I did a palm reading on the rest of her hand and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then,
that's funny. You guys are both readers.
So I'm sitting there looking at her, and I was noticing the rings on her forearm, not on her forearm, but on her wrist, and also
mm-hmm.
the rings on her neck. I can read a lot of things into those things, too as well. And she actually let me touch her chin, and move her chin to the side where I could show her. I was pointing, touching her neck.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if you have a cursed person who says she's very private,
she wouldn't allow anybody to touch her. There's no way.
Yeah, so I sent her to the palm reading board, and I came back to the relationships and said, you know something? Okay?
Yeah.
So I sent her and said, I see the relationships. And I said, these relationships are so like here are really intense. So I'm not going to go there. And I'm not going to talk about those until you're ready to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
what
she said, this might sound crazy, but that makes me feel good knowing you know that.
What?
Okay, now, so then we have on Monday, see, on Friday when I was leaving, I said, I wish you would call me. I really want to talk to you. I really like to talk to you. I wish you would call me.
What did you say?
And, because I have a tendency to get nervous and start being really, really clumsy around her. I tripped over the stoop, and I tripped over and almost fell down, and she kind of caught me. And she had a hold. Now, I understand that I had a hold of her forearm, but she also had a hold of my forearm, and she kept it there the whole time we were talking.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was kind of an intimate thing, because she kept it there, and I could feel her fingers moving on my forearm. And I sit here and told her about that, and she goes, I'd like to go out, you know, I want to sit here and talk to you and have a coffee. And she's like, I'm working on it. Okay. I looked her right in the face and I said, I know you're working on it. It's just the ideal wanting to interact with somebody. You really want to, you know, you just want to have that time with them. But she did say that. And I looked at her and said, okay, great.
Yeah, she really digs you. It's just maybe it's so recent that she just broke up with somebody that she's just, she might not think that's the right time or the right thing to do.
Yeah, but all the stuff that was going on, all that stuff happened on that Friday, and all the things I told you to happened before that, before she even went from being in relationship to being single. But I was sitting there talking. I was sitting there having that kind of intimate kind of moment. But on Monday, it was like she wouldn't look at me or nothing, and she hadn't responded to the email either. And I was sitting there looking at the thing going, I was sitting there talking to her. And I sent her and said, I gave her a gift. I gave her a rose quartz angel.
Oh, that's nice.
I just gave it to her. And then I sent her and said, I want you to have this. And then she looked at me later on and said, you sure you want me to have this? And she goes, yeah. I said, yeah, I want you to have that. And then I was sitting there talking to her. She looked at me one time as she was sitting there talking and stuff. And she looked up at me and she started smiling and said, she goes, I like the idea of rearranging the shells and stuff. You know, have fun being creative and that kind of stuff. And then she looked at me. That was the first time she looked at me, eye contact. And then she looked back down at me. And I was like, what the heck? So I sit there and I was but she was being so distant. And I was like, well, you know, tell me something. She didn't. And I sit there and said, as I was leaving, I was like, you know, wish you'd call me. I said, I know I've said that before. You can call me anytime you want. I wish you'd call me. And she said, this is not a good time.
This is not a good time?
Yeah, she's saying, this is not a good time right now, Donnie. And I'm sitting there going, okay, thank you for emphasizing. You know, you're trying to understand, right? And then she finally does respond to my email, but on Thursday, almost 5 to 6 days after I wrote it on Saturday.
Oh,
she,
my God. That would just irritate me so much.
And she writes on Thursday, and she tells me that she said, I appreciate the kind words. After I said her, I mean, I was very detailed about how I, you know, what I was focusing on. Her, and she was so vague. And then she sat there and said that she really enjoyed getting to know me, too, over the, you know, a few weeks and stuff like that. And then, but she said, I need you to understand something. You know, I got all this stuff going on. I don't have any more room in my life for anything. But she never specifies what the hell that means. So you got to sit there and look at it. It's very vague. And then she said, I'm a single parent. I got all this stuff going on. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're telling me things I already know.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at these things as excuses. And people go, really, how can you tell that? I said, know these things, and she knows I know these things. I mean,
of
like
all people, the king of relationships. You're like, know what's going on. I mean, geez.
Saying you can look, you can see right through me, and basically, I don't see through you. I just see who you are. I actually look past the mask that you're giving everybody. But I also felt like when we were around each other, I think that. In some ways, a hard part about the situation was, because I noticed that she opened up a lot a couple times around me, too. And I think that's kind of the thing that surprised her, too, how easy it was to open up to me, which maybe she didn't. You know, how come I open up to this person?
Yeah.
And did, and then tried to do the whole thing, right? So I was sitting there going, okay, so what happened? She wrote her email saying, basically, you know, bet I wish you the best, and I look forward to seeing you when you come by the store. But this is as far as this can go. That's the first time she ever says it. This is as far as this can go. My friend who's a therapist goes, it's definitely something. She goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
She said that subconsciously or consciously, but the point is she said it, which actually gives a, because she's like, I read your email. Actually, I didn't really read it. I just sent her, told her, and read it to her. And she's like, well, it sounds like to me like it's like an insert to someone's diary. Where she's actually not writing it to anybody but herself.
Yeah, they send mixed messages. I mean, that's what happened, you know, with the relationship that we apparently started talking about. It's the same thing. You get these mixed messages. Like, they say one thing, but then they say something else. And you're thinking, what?
That's what I did.
What are you talking about? Like, it's so blood that you like me or you know what I mean? There's an attraction. They're like, but then you're going to go somewhere else and do something else. It's
mind-boggling. So I did mail, so I write back and tell her flat out that I'm not giving up on her. I respect her wishes, but I'm not giving up on her. I can't turn my back on a connection that we've had. I never had a connection with her before. And just kind of like went into detail again. That one, that email, she never responded to. I went down, as soon as I sent the email, okay, she sent the email at 9 something in the morning. And then I responded to it immediately.
Uh-huh.
And probably in less than 2 hours, I was at the shop. And my friend said, the only thing that baffled her the most was the idea that she said that here she tells you basically what's, and she goes, in some ways what she's saying to you that she doesn't have room right now. She just needs space.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to go. So she goes, go with that notion. But she says, then 2 hours later, you're at the shop. And you're downstairs. You go downstairs. She's upstairs. She's behind the counter. Because I remember coming in, and someone asked me, how you doing? I said, I have no clue. I really have no idea how I'm doing. And then,
is that what you said? I have no clue?
So I said, I come in there, and I walk right by Amy. I walk by Amy, and I said, hello. And she said, hello. How are you? I'm doing good. And I walk downstairs to get candles. I mean, that's what I told myself. I'm going in here to get candles. That's it. I'm not going to say no. So I go downstairs to get candles. I'm looking at green candles for my chakra candle, which is my heart chakra candle holder. And I didn't know what we were even talking about. But I sit there and went downstairs and look at a green candle, and I would try to pick a, you know, pick a certain green candle for my heart chakra candle holder. So I'm sitting there doing that. I don't think I was down there 2 minutes. All of a sudden, I hear these footsteps coming downstairs. And next thing I know, Amy come up to me saying, "Hey, can I help you with something? Can I help you find something?" And my friend goes, she goes, "That's funny." I said, "What is so funny?" She goes, "Because you've been going to that shop since March. You pretty much know where everything's at, and she knows it. And there's been notions of times where you've gone in there where nobody's helped you because you don't need help." She made a conscious effort to interact with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did. So there's definitely a connection there. It's going to be a matter of time.
So I sit there and look at the thing, right? And I sit there and look, and I was sitting there looking at the candles, right? Now, before she came downstairs, I'd already picked a candle. I picked a peace green candle. So I didn't say nothing. She came downstairs and said, she wants to help me out. I said, "Yeah, you can help me pick out a candle because I'm not really sure what I want." Is any candles? I'm looking for. Okay, here's two people having a little problem.
That was so funny.
Yeah, we're having this conversation about heart chakra candles and green candles. Now, green's our favorite color, right?
That was so funny.
Talking about heart chakra, and at that time, two people are having a kind of a conflict here because one's kind of like shutting off the other one. But it's kind of a confusion thing, isn't it? Because it seems like the interaction shows that, you know, she still want to interact with you. Why? You know, I want to sit and see what's up. Okay, fine. But I was sitting there going, okay, I need someone to help. I said, help me. I just need some help picking out a candle. Which one would you go for? And guess what she picked?
Did she pick the green candle that you were going to go get to begin with?
Yeah, but she picked the peace green candle just like I did.
Wow. That's crazy.
So then she walked in the office. I walked in the office and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Did you get my email?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "I just want you to understand."
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, "Okay." I said, "I'm a psychic. I take my what I do for a living very seriously, and the connection and everything that goes along with it. So I have to respect that. I also have to respect myself and how I feel. And I just want you to understand." And she goes, "Well, it's really good that someone sees me that way." And I was kind of like, when people start using the word "see me," it's the idea of how they see themselves. Because I didn't tell her, I wasn't telling her what I see. I was telling her how I felt. So you need, so you see a situation where a person takes their feelings out of it, doesn't want to convey it at all. And so I said,
maybe she's one of those people who, kind of like me, I think too much. I don't go with my feelings. I go with my thoughts. That's who guide me, is my head, not my feelings. And maybe you're the person that goes with their gut feeling, their feeling, their heart. You know what I mean? So, and the opposites are always going to attract. I mean, that's just how life works. But maybe if you approach her in her way, then it'll be easier for her to understand.
Well, we have to understand, also look at the situation, okay? I am not sitting there and mix words on how I feel about her, and she knows that. I mean, she bluntly sitting there and said, "Hey, you think it's a secret that I like you a lot?" And she says, "Not at all." So she knows when she observes me, you know, when she saw, I'll just give you an example, right? I was sitting there downstairs before, when she observed me, help that lady. And also, what about that is when I came back upstairs and picked my stuff and she said, "You know, you just can't keep from helping people, can you?" I guess not. And then the lady's sister came upstairs that I helped and yells it across the freaking upstairs. And we're up there paying for things and stuff. And she said, "Thank you for helping my sister. She never listens to me. Thank you for helping her out." I'm like, "Thank you, and I'm embarrassed." But see, when we were down, here's what happened. We were downstairs talking, and I was talking to her about relationships, you know, my philosophy, my insights about relationships. And then she looked at me, and she said, "You read a book by," I can't remember who it was, she said, "You read this book by so-and-so?" And I said, "No." And she said, I looked at her and said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you just described the first chapter." So, in some sense of the word, you could actually really literally say that we were on the same page.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And she was in the eye contact we had. And then she told me about her animal totem. who her spirit guide is. And some of these things are just contradictions of the private person.
Yeah.
So I sit there and looked at the situation. I've always come at her, being very, very, very honest with her, and telling her exactly how I feel. Okay. And with the situation at hand, what made me mad is just the ideal of being judged because of what typical men do, instead of being judged because of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get mad at her? It's perception, the whole thing. Does it put me in a position of feeling less about her? No.
No.
I feel about her and how much I care about her, and the whole thing that goes along with it is something that has never changed. It's just the idea of looking at the situation. But then we look at these things, and the only thing you can do is work on yourself and ask yourself, what does it reflect back to me about myself? And the idea of, am I open, is my heart as open as I open completely like I say it is? Because, you know, the situation, it could be taken as yes, and the other person is kind of like scared of that, of opening their heart completely. But they did open it up. We could also look at the situation, because I was looking at the thing, too, of talking to her and stuff like that, because, you know, it's like, first she went, that day we was outside talking on the Friday, and she kind of hesitated where she wanted to go outside. She's kind of procrastinating a little bit, and wasn't, you know, you just, it's like a back and forth kind of thing. And then I sit there and said, you're awesome. And I said, let's go out, you know, go outside, and then we got outside, it was a little chilly, and I said, if you sit down and talk to me, I'll let you have my jacket. And I was like saying, I'll give you my jacket if you sit down and talk to me for 5 minutes. It was like a joking around. And she says, no, I don't need your jacket. But then she still sat down with me and talked with me anyway. So I didn't think that she took it the wrong way. It was like joking around and saying, okay, if you want my jacket, I'll give you my jacket. But you also said you didn't want my jacket. You don't need my jacket. It's like I want to connect with you, but it was almost like the ideal of that kind of connection was kind of a scary thing, I guess.
It's like I do or not, but just...
I want to take your jacket. I want to sit down and talk to you. But then again, hesitation and stuff. So I was sort of looking at the situation going, okay. But...
That's just difficult. Relationships are just so hard to understand. Yeah. I think I'm doing much better since I have kind of just accepted the fact and accepted who I was. For instance, like I had just told you, I was a person that was, I'm very mental, very, I don't use my feelings. And when I allowed my feelings, you know, I was a mess. And I think when I finally understood that after the separation, it's been a year now, and the feelings are exactly the same. And I mean, and I understand what the concept of time, like, really, I think back in that, and I think, time doesn't exist when it comes to feelings or energy or anything spiritual when you're connected with some person, because you don't feel any different as if it was yesterday or a year from now or 2 years from now. And same thing happens when somebody passes away, you still love them the very same way. So time really is never an issue. You know, and when I finally got it, you know, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to let it go and accept the fact that this is the person I'm going to love for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if he moved on or whatever, I mean, that's okay. It doesn't make it any different. I can't love him any less, you know? It is what it is.
You know, sometimes the situation I was having in front about this whole thing was, you know, time is also a perception, what that time is. What you think a minute is could be different from another person's minute because the idea of waiting. Some people don't wait, and then a minute goes by really quickly. And the same thing with a person who waits. They sit there and consciously watches the clock. A minute could seem like an hour. Okay? So if you take the same concept of letting go of people, that maybe letting go of those, like getting, because people forget when I say let go. Oh, you want to give up? No. I'm saying let go of it. Detach yourself from the whole situation. And like they always say, give it to God and the angels and let it fall where it may. Mm-hmm. You might be surprised. It might fall at your feet more than you think. And I was sitting talking about this situation here, too. I was like, okay, we got a person who's in the store, and it's like a protection. because she's actually sent me two emails. The last one she sent me was actually saying, I'm in a relationship. She was, I'm sorry about my news of my new relationship. She emphasized on my new relationship has hurt you. And but we're not close friends. You know, you don't know anything about my private life and that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh yes, I do. More than you think. I saw the relationships. I saw the hurt. I've also seen this core within herself of pain and hurt and guilt. And she's never sent her said anything about those things, one way or the other. So I was like, you know, so she writes this thing saying that we can talk when you come out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't say, like you would think somebody would say who was in a relationship, who would say, I can talk to you when you come to the store. But since I'm in a relationship, that's all I can do. And, you know,
exactly. No, she's not in a relationship.
Yeah, but she doesn't
clearly
do anything,
she's
right?
Not.
Doesn't do nothing. So I was sitting looking at the situation, and then she goes on further when she denounced the friendship. She was around. We're not close friends. That hurt me more, and I was like, okay, thanks. I started thinking about the hands on my hips, coming up and putting her head on my shoulder. Just the idea of hugging each other two or three times sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would be. I don't care who you are, even if she's a person.
That's intimate. I wouldn't do that to you, you know, or you would do it to, you know what I mean? It's very intimate. It's a connection that obviously you two had.
Yeah,
so
my friend.
It's about timing. It's just not the right time. And I think we discussed that and many times before, it's just the way it is.
Well, I told a friend of mine, I said, this is what I wrote back. And she goes, what'd you write back? I said, I wrote back and said, I'm sorry, but news of your so-called relationship has not hurt me. You did. Because she told me in an email, basically, in some sense of the word, I don't have time or space for it. And now you're telling me you're in a relationship. And I said, that really hurts. Because...
Yeah. So did she change her status on Facebook again?
No.
No?
No, she went back into being a relationship.
Oh, Facebook, really?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but Facebook is bullshit. So that's...
It is.
Help.
That's total
bullshit. She went from being in a relationship to from being single, being in a relationship.
Okay,
but
what do you get as a psychic? What do you see?
I mean,
it's kind of hard when you got a psychic yourself. But I'm just saying, what do you see? Do you see her really in a relationship or no?
I had some criticism because I was so honest with her. I wrote back and said, no, you know, so news of your so-called relationship has not hurt me. You did. And I said, the ideal because she actually said in the email too, she said, I think our friendship on Facebook has confused things. Okay, here she is again. Things are this. She never really says friendship or relationship or anything, except when she says our friendship on Facebook. So you
How does that confuse what? Who confused who?
So I wrote back and said, okay. I said, you're saying that you think our friendship on Facebook has confused things. And I said, this thing that you called this was something special. And the love I have for you is real. And I said, I'm real. And I said, our friendship, because I told her, I said, our love for you is real. What I feel and the ideal of, you read the book, but I live it. And my feelings for you, so my love for you is real. And, because she read that book. I always have a tendency to do that with her anyway. That things that we've talked about, I put them in the conversation. I even wrote her a poem. And so I wrote her this poem, which I wish I could read to you, but it's in my book, in my journal, the shop. I think I still have it, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I want to hear it. No, I'll share with you the last email that this was in September since I heard of him, and I kind of want you to give me your feedback of what you get from this email. It was the last email that I got from
him. To her and said, you know, you manifested me as, and I manifested you. We both wanted this or it would never happen. And I said, and told her, I said, I was really looking forward to getting to know that part of me by getting to know you. And I said, it's sad that you won't get to know that part of you by getting to know me. My friend said, how do you write this stuff, man? That's so cool. I said, I don't know. It's the truth. I'm just here. that, and I also told her flat out, I said, I know what you're saying about you think that our friendship on Facebook has confused things, because our friendship started way before that. Because that's what I was trying to tell you. She writes this email saying that I think our friendship on Facebook has confused things. But we had all that interaction before we became friends on Facebook. And she actually defriended me on Facebook. But this is the thing too. She defriends me on Facebook, right? But she doesn't block me.
Mm-hmm.
She just defriends me. Like an action, like she's trying to prove, that's the thing I think it is, isn't it? She's trying to prove to me that she's in a relationship or something by thinking she has to do these things. My friend, who's a therapist, said, she said, you wrote to her, I'm trying to figure out how this works anyway. I wrote something to her about saying, I thought we were at least close friends. You don't talk to me no more. I would really like to talk to you. I saw the things you posted about your daughters on Facebook, and they seem as awesome as you are. I would love to get to know them and you. I wrote all this stuff. That's when she wrote back and said, we were never close friends. We're not close. She just said, this is kind of funny too. She never says never. She said, we're not close friends. My friend said, when she read that, she was like, she's saying she's in a relationship. Why is she even responding to you? Because she doesn't have to. So it's like, look at the situation. Why does she even respond? She's saying that you're not close friends, but she said the email that she sent to you saying she's sorry for the news of her relationship has hurt you. She says she even takes herself out of the equation on that one, doesn't she? She says news of her new relationship. So she's basically saying the relationship hurt you, but she doesn't acknowledge that she's the one.
Yeah.
Takes herself
she
out of
the equation. She doesn't want to take the responsibility.
No, I think it was one of those things, too. I think she might have forgotten that we were actually friends for a minute on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote it, right? She wrote it. So she puts it on there as protection, whatever. Say that she forgot about, she's just doing something for protection or something like that. Maybe she didn't think it would the response that she would get or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confusing.
Very, very confusing. Well, the last message I sent him was in September, and I was up until 3:00 in the morning, and I just couldn't go to sleep. And I just, sometimes I study physics and quantum physics and all that stuff, and then I get to the energy level gets so high that I'm so up there, and then you start hearing messages, and then you start understanding things that normally when you're down here on Earth, you don't, So I was compelled to send him a message, whatever it was at that time that I was feeling. I went into a little bit into physics and explaining certain things and stuff like that. And I related the message. I said, maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's about somebody you know, or maybe it's somebody in the future that you're going to meet, or maybe, I don't know what it is, but this is what I'm supposed to tell you, and so be it. So I sent that, and I sent it out to him, and sure enough, I didn't hear from him for about 2 or 3 days, and then my emails have like a tracker, so they'll tell you how many times the person opened it. He opened it like 6 or 7 times and read it, and then finally he sent it a reply back. I sent it on the 2nd, so he replied on the 14th, so it took a couple of weeks for him to reply. And then basically he thanked me which bothered me because I saw that he read it, you know what I mean? But whatever.
Many times.
So this is what he wrote. It says, thank you for reminding me of my essence. I do believe that my essence has meaning in this world and the positive on that. Recently, I have been reminded very often about my positive being, my kindness, my caring nature, and many other good qualities that I have. Because I have the opportunity and been blessed to share it with somebody, someone special. And then he goes into talking to about that. He goes, I want to remind you that I'm not always positive. He goes, and I have a dozen other non-positive qualities about me. And then he says that I have the chance now to focus on one particular person. It's a young lady, and then he describes her name, and that he known her for a month now, and then now he's seen a big effect and change in her. This is an effect that I'm very happy to be a part of. As you mentioned about protons, and I was talking about protons and electrons and whatever message, you know, consciousness and all that stuff. He says, I am happy to be one of those electrons that put positive current in nature. But I am a mere nanotron next to the megatron that you are. You are not only one of the positive atoms in nature, you created them out of nothing. And that's pretty special. If anything, I strive to be like you. In positive aspect, as to be just a drop in the ocean compared to yours. I really love the way you see life and how you find good things in anything. The universe and the world is a better place because of who you are and how you give life to everything that you do. I read your message a few times. Yes, seven, I know. Because my tracker tells me how many times he opens it. So he goes, I read your message a few times, and I have learned not just to listen to you, but to hear you. He goes, and I think I did. He goes, I always want to be better, a better man, and I need to be a great one for Simone, or the girl that he's dating. He goes, she depends on it. I hope you are doing great, and I think of you more than I care to admit. And I wish always to have you to remind me of something, even if it's just to talk about how I could be a better man or a better person. You inspire me to be better. You always find a good time to do it as well. Hug and kisses to you and your son. And then he puts, and by the way, the other day I was thinking of your daughter. Take care of yourself and chat soon. And that was the last time I heard of him, in September. Mm-hmm. Now, I went and I like read it a couple of times and I analyzed it. And here's, he's supposedly going into it. She says the girl depends on it. That was like a red flag for me. If anybody depends on somebody else, then she's obviously
has issues of her own.
Well, something's wrong with her. Something's wrong with her. Because you're supposed to depend on yourself. If you depend on somebody else to make you happy, I learned that from him. You can't be happy. No, you cannot depend on somebody else to be happy. Huh?
So he's not learning from what he's taught you and the idea of
pretty much
the same way, because he's going, she really depends on me. And it's the idea that she makes him feel good, okay? So he doesn't have to deal with it and deal with himself and actually change the things he knows he needs to change within himself. So she depends on this. But when you look at the situation, it's a transfer. I say, okay, I'm not going to work on myself anymore. I found someone else who doesn't challenge me anymore, so I'll just go with that. But that's just something. I mean, he's known this woman for a month, but she seems like she has some issues. And I think in that situation, that relationship, he's going to be more of a therapist than he is going to be a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, when I look at the relationship, too, as well, you know, he's kind of assuming some things, too, that she depends on him. But I don't really get the impression that conversation's ever happened, either. It's an assumption of his part.
And if he says that by being positive around her and kind to her, he has seen a big effect, a big change in her. That means, what was wrong with her to begin with? You know, why wasn't she positive and happy before he came along? You know what I mean? Like, you know.
He doesn't say she is. He doesn't say she is. He's basically saying he's being happy for her.
Pretty much. He goes, I am blessed with the opportunity to share them with her, and then I've seen a big effect and change in her. And I'm thinking, this is like doomed to failure.
You want to hear this poem real quick?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how much time we got on Blog Talk Radio. But this poem goes like this. I just wrote this because I found out she said she was in a relationship. So I said, I'm numb. I don't know what to think, just what I feel. I wrote a poem. Please read. So I read this thing where it says, tears fall like rain. Because my feelings will never change. Visions of you, what shall I do? My heart, your face, I miss your warm embrace. Love is true, you see, the day for us will be. For a tree I sit under, my heart sounds like thunder, right here waiting for you, never giving up on us two.
That's great.
And then I sit there and wrote, said, thank you, Amy, for letting me in as much as you did. But right now I have to say sorry for letting you down. My friend goes, what'd you say that for? I said, it's like a reverse psychology thing that I never even realized what I wrote until after I read it, where it's basically saying the thing that she reads of something that would come up out of, which would come from within herself, of the idea of letting down. And then I said, I need to heal and ask myself, what did I do to you? Well, I wish you the best. Love, Donnie. And, you know, just my friend was like, one of my friends said, you should have.